previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
Mom standing by. Good morning, Mom. How are you?
Well, I think you know what I'm going to do. I've been thinking about this for a long time. I've always wanted to be a Rockette. So I think, what are you laughing?
I'm not laughing.
Great legs.
No, I know you do have great legs.
That's there are a few veins, you know, they limp around a little bit.
Do we need Coach Q to come on here and coach you up? I don't like your attitude, young lady.
Who are you calling young?
You.
You need to suck it up now. You need to compete. Compete. This is why you lifted all those weights all summer.
What? I lifted weights all summer.
You made her.
Once in a while, I tried to pick you up, but then, you know.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Good morning, 511, 720 WGN. Happy Friday to you. It's the calm before the storm. The snow is coming our way. We're going to check in with Tim McGill a little after 5:15. Also, Tom Rivers is going to join us in just a second here. Wanted to update you on one of the biggest stories that we are following. It broke overnight. Gunmen have taken 170 people hostage inside of the Radisson Blue Hotel in Mali's capital, Bamako. The hotel chain that said that two armed men have locked in 140 guests and 30 employees. The men came in a diplomatic vehicle early in the morning and literally walked into the hotel, started firing. This is according to witnesses. And those gunshots went on for several minutes. Malian soldiers with help from UN troops have that hotel surrounded. No group is immediately claiming responsibility for the incident. But a horrific situation there. The gunmen holding 170 hostages at the Radisson Blue Hotel. CNN confirming that three people have been killed. So we'll keep you updated on this situation. Of course, the timing of the attack extremely troubling because it comes just a day after French President Francois Hollande praised his troops for successfully fighting Islamists in the African nation. ABC's Tom Rivers has been in Paris since the attacks 1 week ago and joins us with a bit of an update from the Parisian perspective. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Yeah, just touching on Mali real quick. Former French colony, there's something like 1,000 French troops down there as well. It's the nicest hotel in town. That's where all of the, for instance, all of the cabin crew from Air France stay, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very, very well known. And, of course, everybody in Paris watching that one very closely today.
Yeah, very much so. As you said, Mali, of course, a former French colony. So, you know, our thoughts are with everybody there, too. And now they're trying to get messages to people saying, bunker down, stay in your rooms, don't come out if you're there. And if you're not at the hotel, don't come back, obviously, because of all the police presence and everything going on there. So hopefully they can get messages home and we'll find out who these gunmen are sooner rather than later. But the mood in Paris, I'm sure it's been a week since the attacks now, almost a week. Later on today we'll mark the one week marking of the anniversary, or rather of the shootings. So what's the mood like there this morning?
I tell you, I think Paris has been through the ringer. Elation, I guess, when they found out that the so-called ringleader, Abdel Ahmed Aboud, had been killed. That's good. The fact, though, that the supposed maker of these explosive vests is still out there somewhere. People are worried, concerned. Fact that a second cell had been uncovered and neutralized, good, but there could be other ones out there. So people are, you know, a bit circumspect about going, you know, just totally crazy and celebrating. People know that they may have now dealt with the right punch, but they're waiting for the left.
Tom, what I think has been amazing since the beginning, and we talked about this a few days ago as well, is how quickly the French were able to track down these suspects and the investigative work that went into actually finding this flat where they found Aboud and killed him. They found a cell phone near the concert hall that led him to his cousin and then to that apartment. So the detective work is incredible.
Yeah, that was part of it. And that was a big mistake on the part of one of the three groups on Friday evening. Also, Belgian intelligence helped him out as well, saying, you know, we've kind of got indications that maybe the cousin may be in this part of Paris. Check it out. And that's exactly what they did. And they followed the trail there. One interesting update this morning. We didn't know about this until now. Apparently, there has been a third unidentified body found in that collapsing building in North Paris. So we'll have to wait, I guess, again, maybe hours, days. for confirmation on who that might be.
Tom, are they conducting more raids? I know they were looking for Abaoud, but are they conducting more raids to try and find more of his affiliates today or in the coming days?
Yeah. It goes on by the day, and it's a running total. I checked last night, and it was over 600 now throughout the country. So that does not stop. I guess the deal is now, the horse is bolted, so they are now saying, we're not going to gradually check it. No, they're going after everything right now that even smells, looks, tastes like anything to do with this. They're going after them.
Tom, do you get a day off? I know you've been nonstop 24/7 on this story for a week.
I think I'll pick up a bottle of Beaujolais because I'll bring it home with me.
Well, we can't thank you enough for all your hard work. I know you've literally been in the thick of this since last week. So thank you for your time, your hard work. And as always, be safe.
I shall. We'll talk maybe from London on Monday.
That sounds great. Have a great weekend, Tom. ABC's Tom Rivers, as I said, has been following this since the beginning. And we'll keep you updated on this situation in Mali. Still the hostage total now 170. I think they said 140 guests and then 30 staffers still being held at this Radisson Blue in Mali. All right, we'll check the weather forecast for you right after traffic. We're going to get a lot of snow, and it's going to be coming in later on tonight. Tim McGill right after Mary checks traffic.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be frightful.
But the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Just let it snow, right? We're ready, Tim. We're bunkering down.
You've been working out?
Yeah. Got my shovels. I had to pull the boots out of the closet yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right. How bad is this going to be?
I'd say the worst hit areas could get up to 10 inches of snow or more.
Oh, just 10 inches.
That's
first
it.
First snowfall of the season?
Yeah, not too bad. No, I'll break it down. I'll get to the numbers. It looks like probably south of the city where we have the winter weather advisories. That's Kankakee County, Will, Lake, and Porter in Indiana. Maybe 1 to 3. In and around the city itself, probably around 2 to 5. Mm-hmm. And then north and west, the hardest hit areas, Lake, McHenry, DeKalb counties, areas north and west, 4 to 8. And those are the spots that could get locally up to 10 inches of snow. So the models are kind of coming into agreement. They're not perfectly aligned, but that seems to be what they're suggesting, that big of a range across the area.
All right, so mainly north and west are going to be hardest hit.
Yeah, north and west, Lake McHenry, DeKalb County, parts of Kane County, out near O'Hare even, northwest Cook County, you could see 6 inches of snow or more there too. So that's where the winter storm warning is going to affect around 9 o'clock tonight and will last until about 3 tomorrow. I think it'll start initially as kind of a mix of rain and snow, 6 or 7 o'clock this evening, maybe start as all snow well north of the city, and then change over to snow. It'll take longest to change over from the city southward, but you'll eventually end up seeing snow tomorrow morning. And most of it will fall, I think, early in the morning hours Saturday up through about midday and then taper off. And that'll be followed by the coldest air of the season so far. We'll have teens for lows Sunday morning, and Soldier Field might not get out of the 20s during the day on Sunday. So kind of a 1-2 punch with this one.
All right, so we're going to be okay all day until you think about 6, 7 o'clock, and that's when it's going to start to hit.
Yeah, roughly it'll start to come in. We're already starting to see the snow expand as far east as western Iowa right now. So there's about a dozen states from Montana through Michigan that have winter weather advisors, winter storm watches, or warnings. So it's going to happen, and if we get that 6 inches of snow or more, at O'Hare, could it rank among the top 5 worst November snowstorms on record. So something to watch for.
Hey, Tim, suppose someone were driving this evening.
To Madison, maybe?
Yeah.
I said that too, Timmy.
I have a friend who's going to Madison tonight. Let's call him Dave.
Let's call him Schmave.
Okay. Well, I would tell Dave that, the earlier you can get out, probably the better.
But let's say Dave was broadcasting a basketball game and couldn't leave till 9:17, something like that.
Tim, I would say Dave's screwed.
I would say, that's one. Tell Dave that he's in big trouble.
Just put it a nicer way. Sorry. Yeah,
actually, it'll just be starting then. You won't be in the worst of it, but you know what it's like when we get our first mix or snow of the season, everybody drives like it's Armageddon.
Oh,
so
right.
It might be a little slow. Tell your friend Dave I'm praying for him.
What about the game in Madison tomorrow? It's a 2:30 kick. Will it have moved out by then?
Most of it will be gone by then. In Madison, I think the bulk of it will be gone. I can't rule out a few flurries still there, and the winds might pick up a little bit. It'll be cold, probably in the 20s, but most of the snow will be gone by then.
Okay. Tim, I heard you say it's going to be possibly in the 50s next week, so could we even maybe hope that most of it might melt before Thanksgiving?
I would think the bulk of the snow will be gone by Thanksgiving. We're going to be in the 40s, it looks like, Tuesday and Wednesday, and probably cracking 50 by Thanksgiving Day. And plus, we'll have some rain Wednesday and Thursday, so that'll help melt it off, too.
Melt it all away. All right, Tim, thank you.
Sure.
Thanks, Tim.
Enjoy.
we'll wish our best to Shmave. Thank you, Tim. We'll be checking in with Tim McGill throughout the day as well. Well, I didn't want to just say it was outright.
I told you his name is Dave.
I was trying to give you a decoy there, an alias.
Live from downtown Chicago, it's the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Chicago.
Morning.
Good morning.
It is Friday morning. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran once again. Glad to be back. Thank you to Elton Jim Toronto for filling in on my show. I appreciate that. And I'm here on a Friday morning. Hi, guys.
Happy to have you back.
Thank you.
This is great.
Thank you.
You were able to work this out. Not happy your event got canceled, but...
Yeah, I had originally taken... The reason why Jim was in
for
me was because I had originally taken my shift off because I was scheduled to do something last night, Thursday night, that would have gone kind of late, and I didn't want to stay up all night and not get any sleep. So I took the night off, and then I discovered that it was canceled, so... found out that Steve was taking the day off, and they said, "Hey, do you want to work for Steve?" And I said, "Of course I do." So
we're glad.
So you're going to do this every other day?
Every other day, the Steve Cochran vacation schedule.
Yeah, I'm like the Joan Rivers of the Tonight Show.
Just to screw up your sleep for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to your favorite place tonight.
Where?
Gale Street Inn.
Ah, yes. Yeah. George is out of town.
Oh, is he really? I'm going to get some ribs and some of that mac and cheese. Sorry, Kev.
It's the best.
It's good stuff.
Maximus, have you been to the Gale Street Inn?
Oh, many times.
It's the best.
The ribs are phenomenal.
Everything is great. Gale Street Inn, as I've often described it on my show, is the greatest restaurant on the planet.
And they've got those cheesy potatoes, too.
Delicious.
Oh, I'm going to get some of those, too.
Delicious. But, George is out of town. George, you know, has a place in Arizona. And like Steve Cochran, is Mr. Golf. Like any chance he gets to golf, he will. And so he heard the weather forecast for this week, and he goes, "Yeah, I'm going to Arizona."
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. He saw the forecast, and he was like, "Yeah." And speaking of the forecast, Tim McHale's going to join us later on and keeping track of this big storm that's coming in, the first big storm. Everybody calm down. It's Chicago.
Right.
This happens. Dave, I feel bad for you, though, because I understand that you'll be going to Madison. You'll be driving to Madison.
Yeah. I mean, there's no other way to do it.
Yeah.
So I've got the basketball game tonight. I mean, there'll be some other people, I'm sure, making the same trip.
You can't airlift? They can't airlift you?
I don't know if I really want to be airlifted during a snowstorm.
Oh, no, that's another good point.
Orion, I don't think Air Orion would fly you in a snowstorm.
No.
We could have Aaron pick you up from Chopper 9.
Again, I don't think I really want to do that.
Yeah, I don't think Jen will let that happen. Yeah.
Well, you know, and the thing is, that you're stuck between a rock and a hard place because you got to do basketball tonight.
Well, and I was originally going to drive up tomorrow morning because it's only a couple hours up to Madison.
Right.
It's not from where I live. And but then as the forecast got worse during the course of the week, I said, well, I better go tonight because I don't want to be trying tomorrow morning to get there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I figure I'm better off getting ahead of it as much as
can. Can you just give – can Phillips give you a ride? Can Adam give you a ride?
I think he's going to go sooner, too. He's smart. See, most everybody's already going to be there.
Right.
They're going to get up ahead of the snow.
Can you Skype it? Why don't you Skype the game?
Skype the game.
Just have
Skype
someone, have Adam set up a laptop in the booth, and I'll just sit here.
Perfect.
Where it's nice and toasty.
And just look at the game on the screen.
I can watch the Lights Festival on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, there it is.
There you go.
Well, good luck, man.
Thanks.
McGill's going to be with us a little bit later on to update.
He's going to ride with me.
McGill is.
Yes.
It's his responsibility. It's his fault.
Mile by mile, how it's going to be.
Do you notice what we all, not we, but people just always blame the meteorologists?
Oh, no, we always do.
I'll
jump
McGill.
In. It's Skilling. It's his fault. So let me officially say hello to Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran. Where's Cochran today? Espionage mission number two for the week?
Fighting crime part two.
Okay. Andre Darlis is doing the news. Dave ended on sports. Mary Vandeville is in traffic. Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
You know, I'm stunned that this is the second time this week that I've filled in for Steve and you didn't purposely take the day off.
I know. I'm always off when you fill in.
It's,
is that weird?
It's not weird. You do it on purpose.
Oh, I do? Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Kevin is producing.
See, you weren't supposed to be working today.
No, that's right, see? That's exactly right. Kevin Powell, also known as Maximus. What's going on, Maximus?
Not much. Good to be here, Nick.
And Ross. Hey, Ross.
Hi, Nick.
Yeah, buddy.
There he is.
Poor Kevin's on drugs today.
What? Whoa, wait a minute.
What?
He's got antibiotics.
I thought
it was going to be interesting.
A sinus infection.
You got antibiotics?
Antibiotics, sinus infection.
Yeah. Oh, it's good you came in, though.
Kevin's like, you know, I was in the producer's room there before the show started, and we were having a little discussion. He's like, yeah, this will be the first weekend I haven't gone out in a long time, so I'm going to go see Spotlight, then I'm going to go see the Peanuts movie, and then I'm going to go see The Martian. Yeah, that's my, and then I'm going to watch football from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. tomorrow. So he's planning out every millisecond of his weekend.
Because I'm just going to be vegging out. I can't go out.
Well, no, that's not what you said when I was in there. I was in there and he's like, I'm going to be a loser. I'm going to be inside all weekend. I'm like, yeah, it sums up my entire life.
Right.
Well, why do you think I started drinking, Kat?
He's 24, though. He hits the rage.
26, yeah. But who's counting?
26. Oh, yeah, right. Oh, no, it's true. It's different.
Oh,
when you're
totally.
26 and you're in for the weekend, that's upsetting.
I called my goddaughter who's 20. She's 22. I said she was 21 earlier this week. She's at Iowa. And I said, oh, happy birthday. It was 6 o'clock. I said, what are you doing? Studying? She said, well, actually, yeah. I said, oh, you're staying in? She said, no, we're going out at 8. And I said, oh, 8, it's getting earlier. She went, no, idiot. 8 o'clock is dinner. Then we go out at 10.
Right. Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. Then they pre-party before they go out.
Yeah,
so they really don't go out till 11.
Yeah. Now, when you stay in on the weekends when you're 50, that's a different thing.
Yeah, I mean.
That's a different thing.
Post up on the recliner, watch some TV.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing, man. Yeah.
Do some crossword puzzles.
Well, don't get crazy. Nothing. I don't want to use my brain. So we got a lot of really great stuff lined up for the show. By the way, Terry Crews is going to join us later in the show. Terry Crews is one of my favorites. Now, if you don't know who Terry Crews is, if you see the Old Spice commercials and the big, muscular, bald African-American dude in those Old Spice commercials.
Oh, I've seen that.
Is he in studio?
He's hysterical. No, he's not. No, he's not.
No, I just meant for you.
Andre's like,
is
he in studio?
No, it was a
shirtless,
interview.
Muscular guy. He's also on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is a hilarious show. And he's got a show that he hosts every Friday on Fox called America's Funniest Fails.
Oh, yeah.
And it's great. But he's also in a movie called Idiocracy, and I want to talk to him about that. Van Hamp is going to join us to preview this weekend's Bear game. Fitz.
Coach, pants on.
That's right. Coach Fitz is going to be
go
with
cats,
us.
Go Cats.
And lots more. I do have a text question I want to throw out really quick. You know, when we're here, we always have a text question. The question is this. Terrible weekend weather-wise in the Chicago area, so a lot of people are going to stay in. What TV show... What TV shows do you binge watch?
Oh.
Okay, text us. Now, another reason I bring it up is because last week they added new words to the Collins Dictionary.
Oh, and binge watching.
And binge watching was the number one new word added. Binge watching that phrase. That phrase. That phrase. So the question
was
text
phrase. Was,
phrase
also
yeah,
added?
Phrase was. And if you'd like to text us your answers throughout the morning, we'll go through that. What TV shows do you binge watch or had you binge watched? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 with your questions here. Or I'm sorry, answer to that question. Steve's first caller is on hold. Hang on. We'll get to you in a second, James. He's got an interesting story to tell us. Maximus pulling out the jams this morning.
Gotta get the fly jams theme going.
Well, this isn't a fly jam, but it's a jam nonetheless. Hey, you know, no fly jams next week either. It'll be 2 weeks without fly jams.
What?
I'm off next week. It's Thanksgiving. I'm off next Friday morning. So no fly jams. Unless the person filling in wants to do fly jams. So, Elton Jim did not do fly jams this morning. So. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio. That's me filling in for Steve Cochran.
He didn't do out of context either.
He didn't do out of context. Yeah, we won't have that next week either. So they're just going to pile up, especially from this show. They're just going to pile up, Andrea, and it's all you're doing.
Oh, I know.
So that's all coming up here. We have a lot of great stuff coming up. Lou Manfredini is going to be in here. Lou's first call is coming up a little bit later on as well. But speaking of first calls, it's Steve Cochran always does the first call. We give prizes to the person who calls in first, and that would be James in Chicago Ridge. Now, James, how are you, sir?
Yes. Doing great. How are you, Nick?
I'm all right. Now, you have an interesting story here. You really, really, really wanted to be the first call this morning.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I told my son about the Blackhawks Christmas tree or the hockey Christmas tree.
The hockey Christmas tree. It's the hockey Christmas tree, yes.
The hockey Christmas tree.
Yes.
He was so excited when he heard that existed. He's obsessed with Christmas. His birthday is in August. He wants Christmas decorations for for birthday presents. He wants Christmas decorations for Christmas presents. I mean, he's going to be Clark Griswold.
Well, let me ask you. How did this happen? How did your son become? How old is your son?
He's 11.
He's 11. An 11-year-old completely obsessed with Christmas.
He absolutely loves it.
When did that start?
I always had basic Christmas decorations out front, but he's just always been obsessed with the lights, and he just always wants to add more and more and more, and he just has this grand plan of always being bigger and better with the decorations. Last year, we did get number one in the village, so and he wants to maintain that, thousands of more lights every year.
Number one in the village. What village is this, James?
Chicago Ridge.
Chicago Ridge. So if a plane is landing at O'Hare, they can use your house as a strip. Is that what
Absolutely.
You're saying?
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
All right. You got a little Clark Griswold there in the making. What do you do for a living there, James? What are you doing up this early?
I work for a trucking company, kind of a jack of all trades for here.
Okay. All right. Are you going to be out driving later?
Yes, I will.
Oh, man. Be careful, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Be careful out there. All right. Now, what's your son's name?
Nick.
It's Thank Nick? You.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, okay.
Oh, double the prize.
Well, all right. First of all, Kev. my main man, Maximus, you got to go nuts because the kid's name is Nick.
All right.
But wait a second. James, his name is Nick, so he's predisposed to like Christmas. His name is Nick.
Same Nick.
Yes, now, is that why he likes Christmas? Is he like, hey, this dude who delivers presents has my name?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, what are we giving James and his great son, Nick, who's got the best name ever? Go ahead there, Maximus.
So we'll give him the holiday hockey tree courtesy of Tree Time with the most ginormous selection of artificial Christmas trees at factory direct prices.
And I do want to mention, by the way, Kev.
Yeah.
Fantastic job decorating the Allstate Showcase studio. Tree Time decorated it. It's all decked out for the holidays, and Santa is hanging in the chimney, and it's fantastic.
He looks great. He
looks like he's hanging in the chimney.
Visit Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington or treetime.com. And also, how about a Lightkeeper Pro so they could fix any of their damaged lights?
James, your son Nick is going to go nuts over this thing. You'll never, ever have an issue with holiday lights not working ever again. You understand that, James? I mean, this is going to be the greatest present you've ever given your son.
Oh, he's going to go crazy. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead there.
Go to lightkeeperpro.com for more info. And then once he's done decorating, I'm sure he'll be hungry. So how about a Luminati's gift card? He could have some pizza. Visit one of their 42 Chicagoland locations. For more information, visit luminatis.com. And how about for James? We'll give him the Chevy Wake Up and Win package, a ChevyDriveChicago.com, and WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug, along with a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee. It's all courtesy.
Papa Nicholas coffee, James. Yeah. Papa Nicholas.
The full circle. It's courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers.
All right, James.
Thank you so much.
Hey, man, no, seriously, because you were on hold for a long time because you really, really wanted Nick to get the stuff. And that's a great dad. And so have a great holiday season and Merry Christmas to your son. Is your son around?
No, he's not. I'm at work already.
Oh, you're at work. Okay. All right. Does he listen?
He does.
Yeah, sure he does.
There's
an 11-year-old kid who listens to this at 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, that's real convincing, James. I appreciate that.
Well, when he's in the car with me, he does.
What do you think? Because he's got no other choice. I'd rather be listening to Christmas music, Dad. All right.
He does. All right.
Okay, James, thanks, buddy. Hang on.
Thank you.
There you go. Hang on. Merry Christmas. So there's James. He was hanging on forever. He's hanging up forever so he can get his son who's obsessed with Christmas. Of course his son is obsessed with Christmas. His name is Nick. God. All right, we got a break. We got the news coming up. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran on WGN. Morning, everybody. Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio. That's me. In for Steve Cochran, taking today off for more espionage mystery. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio here, all decorated for Christmas. Looks great. Tree Time did that. Great stuff. Hey, Lou's first call is coming up. If you want to jump in here, it's 312-981-7200. We'll talk with Lou Manfredini in a minute. Coming up a little bit later on, Dan Hampton is going to join us to preview the Bears game this weekend. We are going to talk with Terry Crews, who is the star of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You see him in the Old Spice commercials. In a great movie called Idiocracy. Elise Glink is going to join us to talk finances and Black Friday deals and much more. And you just heard Oh, by the way, we have a text question out there, and anytime you want to respond to our text question, please do. It's the same phone number as the studio. You can text us at 312-981-7200. The question is, what TV shows have you and do you binge watch? It's going to be a pretty lousy weekend weather-wise. Good time to stay in and just veg out on the couch and binge watch. What TV shows are you looking forward to binge watch? Which ones have you binge watched? TV binge watching, 312-981-7200. And speaking of that phone number, hold on to it, because you just heard Jackson Browne. Coming out of the break there. Jackson Browne is playing with James Taylor. It's James Taylor and his band at Wrigley Field on Thursday, June 30th, and the special guest is Jackson Browne. That is a pretty great double bill right there.
Oh, yeah.
James Taylor and Jackson Browne, two of the best singer-songwriters ever. Yeah. And they are going to be playing on Thursday, June 30th. Tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. So tickets go on sale for that concert this morning, 10 a.m., LiveNation.com. We have a pair to give away right now if you can answer this question. When I was in on Wednesday, I guess I like to talk about ex-wives and ex-girlfriends, because when we were in on Wednesday, we gave away a pair of tickets to see James Taylor, and I asked the question, who is James Taylor's famous ex-wife? And it, of course, is Carly Simon.
Carly Simon, yeah.
Now, this question is about Jackson Browne and famous exes. I've been married twice, in case you didn't know. Divorced twice, too. So I know a thing or two about exes.
The third time will be the charm.
No, it's not good. Well, yeah, it'll happen on Mars if it does happen. Jackson Browne is opening for James Taylor, and here is the question. For a pair of tickets to see James Taylor and Jackson Browne at Wrigley, who is Jackson Browne's very famous ex-girlfriend? Caller 7, call in. We'll start with caller 7.
Yeah.
Start with caller 7. Boy, you're being really strict, Maximus.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's just our normal routine here.
Caller 7, even if I throw out a trivia question?
Yeah.
So you have to know it and be lucky?
Because people started calling before you even asked
the question. Oh, that's true.
That's
well, you know what? You hang up on them.
Well, I'm not going to be rude and hang up. I just caller 7. That's the game plan.
Okay. Caller number 7. If you can get through here, caller number 7, and you have the answer to the question. Ex-girlfriend of Jackson Browne. Very famous woman. They had a very tumultuous relationship, actually. So who is that? And you'll get yourself a pair of tickets to see James Taylor with Jackson Browne at Wrigley Field, June 30th, Thursday, June 30th. Mark that down. Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. You ever see James Taylor?
I've never seen James Taylor in concert.
I mentioned yesterday, I think you and I saw the same concert. At the United Center?
Yeah, with
Carole King.
Carole King.
Yeah.
What a great show.
That would be an amazing show.
It was
show.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really was a good show. Really. Do we already have an answer? What are we talking about? Line 3? Is this the person?
Oh, she just dropped out. Uh-oh.
Oh, that's not good.
Ooh, not cool. No.
That's not good. All right. Well, we're going to have to find another person who has the answer to that question. Jackson Browne's very famous ex-girlfriend. Who is that? We're waiting. But yeah, that was a pretty unbelievable show. And they played it in the round. It was very intimate, especially for some place as big as the United Center. It didn't seem like, you know, I mean, they really captured everybody in the room. It was, you know, there were 30,000 people in that place, and it was really quiet, and everybody was paying attention.
I love concerts that are in the round.
Yeah, very, very cool.
The last concert I saw in the round.
Who?
Def Leppard.
Yeah, man. hey, Maximus, I understand. Yep. I'm looking at the name of this person. Do you happen to have a soundbite that we can use? You see the name of this person? See if you can find that, okay?
Second.
Yeah, I'll give you a second there. There's Kevin. But let's go to the phones here. Okay. Hello, caller? Patty?
Hello.
Hi, Nick DiGilio here. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic, okay. Nick. Okay. So good to talk to you. I love you.
Thank you. Oh, I love you, too. All right. Well, let me ask you this question for a pair of tickets to see James Taylor and Jackson Browne at Wrigley Field. Jackson Browne's very famous ex-girlfriend. Who is she?
That would be the very famous tall, blonde Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you got it, Patty. Very good. They had a very tumultuous relationship.
Yeah, they dated a long time.
They dated a while, and it didn't end nicely.
Who dated Carrie Fisher? Oh, that was Paul Simon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. Who didn't date Carrie Fisher at one point? I think I dated her for a while in the 70s.
Even R2-D2.
It was a hello!
Did you marry her, Nick?
Yeah, sure. Once I meet somebody, I marry him. Patty, you and I are getting married next week.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, you know it's not. Trust me.
Patty!
All right. What was that?
Patty!
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no.
Hang on, okay, Patty?
She's back.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay. All right, we got to go to traffic. One more time.
Patty! ready.
She's our winner. Let's go to that, by the way, is from the sweet potato pie video of that lovely young man eating the sweet potato pie. all right, let's go to, I wish your name was Patty right now, because we could go to Kevin.
Patty!
Yeah, but it's Mary with traffic right now.
Sounds the same.
And yeah, go ahead.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
All right. Hey, Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. You can hear him on Saturday mornings right here on WGN. And you can call right now. Be his first call if you have a question that Mr. Fix-It can only answer. Our phone lines are open, and you will be Lou's first call. 312-981-7200. We want a question for Lou. 312-981-7200. By the way, it's sponsored by American Weather Makers. And so call in with Lou's first call right now with your question, and Lou will help you. 312-981-7200. Let us say hello to the one, the only Lou Manfredini. How are you, sir?
Good morning, sir. I'm well. I'm well.
Good. Right off the bat, I just want to say hi. I never get to talk to you as much as I used to.
And I you're on, you know, the gods, when God wakes up.
Yeah. That's true.
That's right when he wakes up,
that's
and you're
exactly,
on. And
exactly.
Interesting, I had a conversation with you with a lovely lady flying back from New York just the other day who went on and on and on about how much she loves listening to you. And she goes, but lately I haven't been able to listen. I go, well, why? I go, he's still on. She goes, something happened in my building and my AM reception isn't any good. And I said, well, what about listening on the app? She's like, oh, my God, I forgot all about
that. Yeah. Yeah, you can stream us on the app. You can listen to us online. There are many, many ways that you can listen to the show. Hey, before we get to our first call, Lou, the lovely Mary Vandeville does have a question, right, Mayor?
I do. Oh, my gosh.
Hi, Mayor.
Lou. Hi, good morning. Yeah, this is causing a major fight in my house.
Uh-oh.
First of all. So I'm tired of it. I'm so tired. Okay. So I'm between my husband and myself. So I'm getting these weird spots on just my dress pants that I clean in the laundry, rust spots or little bleach spots. I swear there's something going on in my washing machine. My husband says it's me. He says, you're throwing makeup on your pants. You're doing something weird. Have you heard?
It's just happening on your pants?
Yes. This is so bizarre. I know it's a washing machine thing because he never washes any dress pants.
Wait a minute. Are you sure this is a question for Lou?
Yes, because it has. I know it's my washing machine.
Uh-huh.
And this would be kind of loose.
So, Lou, how many washing machines know which pants to put stains on?
Yeah.
That's a coincidence. What? It's just my pants.
Uh-huh.
Well, it could be that the fabric, you said it's when you wash dress pants?
Yes, it's not happening on my jeans. And it happened on a couple sweaters, too, though, Nick.
Okay. So here's the first thing that I would do, because I know what town you live in, and the water quality there is suspect at best. Do you use a softener?
Yes.
Okay, and what have you changed anything in what you use in the softener?
No, he was using some fabric softener, and then he does the laundry. By the way,
I can't believe this is Lou's first question. It's hilarious.
This is like a major problem.
Lou, can you help me with a table setting?
He's
later
throwing
on?
four pairs of pants.
Is that possible?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
I can actually. So here's my guess: is that ask him if he's changed what he's used, the different kind of salt in the softener.
Okay.
If he's changed the brand or, oh, yeah, I picked up these couple bags that I didn't use before, it's also a good idea to, every now and then, that brine tank in the softener, which is where the salt goes, to pour a couple cups of bleach and circulate the system a little bit to help clean it a little bit. It's not a bad idea to do that every couple of months. And then the other thing to check out is the screens that are on the hoses that feed the washing machine. Those can start to deteriorate. They're typically brass or copper, and you can get little spots from that. And so you need to unscrew those and replace the screens that are in those hoses. That could be leading to this problem.
I know they're copper.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
See?
Lou,
see?
Listen, I got some holes in my socks. I was wondering if you could darn them.
I knew this was a Lou question. Listen, he knows everything.
Listen, I just did a question on the Today Show about moths eating people's sweaters in their closets. So full circle here.
Okay.
Circle. I'm sorry. Everyone, four pairs of pants. So all right. Okay. Me.
Lou, take care of that. Will you replace your pants? Can you replace Mary's pants? All right. Here's Jason with Lou's first call. Jason, by the way, as Lou's first call,
You are going to April Air event-based thermostat brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland's indoor comfort, American Weathermakers. Take control of your temperature and the air you breathe. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. You got one of those just for being the first call. Jason, go ahead, buddy.
Hi, Lou. Let me set the scene for you. Second floor bedroom, outside wall.
Stained pants. No.
Second floor bedroom, the outside wall, right where the wall meets the ceiling. About once a year, I have to scrape out the drywall in about a 3-inch by a 1-inch area and re-spackle and repaint. It's never damp. It's never wet. It doesn't seem like I'm getting water in there. Is there something going on in my attic above?
And is there a gutter on the outside of this?
There is a gutter, and I just had siding done redone last year. And it hasn't fixed the problem.
Okay. So my guess is that if there's any kind of overhang, it could be an insulation issue where that particular spot might be lacking. And when it gets really cold, the finished paint film and what's underneath there gets super cold, and maybe you get a little ice buildup that then ends up popping that paint. So if you can get up in that attic and get all the way over to that corner area and see if some additional insulation can go in there. Actually, I'm going to feature this morning. There's the spray foam insulation that I've been talking about called Touch and Foam. It's a kit that you can buy at the big boxes, and you can reach in there. It has a long cord, and you can fill that area if you can and even get into the wall cavity and add a little of this foam insulation, and I bet that'll solve the problem.
Yeah, because I noticed the insulation in my attic, it's really thick. It's the full insulation. What about baffles? Could that be an issue or no? Lack of a baffle there?
Well, if there's lack of ventilation over there, that can certainly be an issue for building up moisture. But even though you see the insulation out, you know, far, it could be built up right where the roof line meets the wall line, and right in that pocket is where some additional spray foam insulation could really be beneficial.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Jason, by the way, we want to thank AmericanWeathermakers.com for the April Air event-based thermostat. How about that?
Good stuff.
Lou!
Good stuff. Have a great day, Nick.
Thank you, buddy.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
All right, you too, Lou.
Bye-bye, take care, Lou.
See you, Lou.
Bye,
Lou. You can listen to Lou. Did you say Bubba Lou?
Bye, Lou. Love
bye,
you.
Lou.
Nice. I'm sorry. I thought you said Bubba Lou. I was going to say, did Desi Arnaz show up?
Bubba Lou.
So you can listen to Lou every Saturday morning, 7 o'clock, right here on WGN. We got a break. We got the big story coming up here on WGN.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN.
Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran, who is undercover of the night, right? I think that song, the Rolling Stones song, was actually written for Steve Cochran. It was inspired by Steve Cochran. That's right. It's me, Nick DiGilio, in for Steve this morning. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be covering the story that's happening in Mali right now. It's a hostage situation that's still underway.
It's still going on.
And
yes.
Andrea has been talking about it, and we are going to talk to ABC's Tom Rivers in a little bit to get the latest on what's happening there. As always, we always keep an eye on what's happening in the world. Dan Hampton is going to join us in a little bit to talk about the Bears this weekend. We will be talking about Movember, which is why I have this goofy mustache.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those.
It's a Fu Manchu is what they call it.
Like
so
that.
I've got that going. And then Dave, Mr. Dave Ennett, we have a Hawkopedia this morning.
We do have one a little bit later on this morning since it's a Blackhawks game day.
That's right. Calgary Flames. And they're playing tonight. 8 o'clock is the puck drop, correct?
8 o'clock puck drop, 7:30 pregame. Second time they've played this week against the Flames.
That's right.
And they have done well against Calgary.
They have. It's going to be a good game. Mm-hmm. The circus trip. We talked about the circus trip with John Weideman on Wednesday morning when I was here. John got all sad, though. I felt bad because I asked him, how do you personally feel about the circus trip? And then he's like, I miss my kids.
Miss my kids.
I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. But it was really sad, Dave, is that you know he talks about how the players love it so much. Like they get to bond, they go out, they go to Vegas, you know, during the trip, and then they play video games together, and then I just picture John in his hotel room going, I'm gonna call my kids. You know,
on Skype the whole time.
Yeah. You know, meanwhile the guys are running up and down the hallways of the hotel, you know, having a good time. So anyway, the circus trip continues tonight in Calgary.
Nick, I do have a question for Dave.
Go.
If we have time for it, because this is something I've been wondering about. As more states are taking action to put an end to the FanDuel DraftKings activity, Massachusetts now the latest, which would ban people under the age of 21 from playing the paid fantasy sports games.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering how Dave feels about this. To me, it looks like gambling. You're putting money out to get more money back. And to me, it looks like online gambling from your home.
Well, I think it is. But I think by any definition, it is gambling. I think it started as kind of a game. I mean, I know an awful lot of people who are involved in fantasy football, including certain people on this program.
Right.
And all of us. So, but I think at some point it has to be regulated, but I don't think you're talking about something that right now needs to be the high priority that some have suggested. I mean, obviously we regulate the lottery. We regulate other kinds of gambling, horse racing. There should be some sort of jurisdiction. There should be, I mean, some sort of process here to regulate it. But I don't, you know, I think there are other things that probably need to be dealt with first.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Orion, are you concerned about your subscription to FanDuel? Or?
Yeah, I may lose all my money, and then you'd have to support me, Nick.
Good luck with that one, Big O.
What do you think, Big O?
That's a gamble right there, pal.
I mean, is this
something that concerns you, Orion? Or?
Well, because it's become a huge business. It's a multi-billion dollar business. And if you are going to regulate gambling at casinos in Illinois and in Las Vegas, the only difference with this is that it's gambling from home. As one gentleman said, these are games that you carry around with you in your pocket and lose money at the touch of a button. And so commenting on the Massachusetts proposal, this is an important step to protect consumers here in Massachusetts. And while New York is calling for the outright ban of the DraftKings FanDuel-type gambling, Massachusetts would prohibit people under the age of 21 from playing the paid fantasy sports games. And it would also ban fantasy competitions based on college sports, prohibit promotions of paid fantasy sports on high school and college campuses, and bar professional athletes, agents, and others connected to pro sports from taking part in fantasy betting. So it's become a huge industry, and people are investing in it, and I was just curious.
I wish I'd thought of it.
Yeah. All right, Orion.
Right.
Thank you for that question. We are actually going to be talking about business with WGN's business innovation analyst, Elise Glink. We got to take a break, though, right now. Thank you, Orion. We'll take a quick break. We got traffic right now with Mary. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran, taking this Friday off. We hope everybody has a great weekend, a safe weekend. The weather is going to be kind of nasty, so you know, we'll keep an eye on that as well.
Stay inside and binge watch.
Stay inside and binge watch, which, by the way, thank you, Andrea. That's our text question for the morning, 312-981-7200. Send your texts, your answers to the text question of the morning. What TV shows have you binge watched, do you binge watch, or are you going to binge watch? It's one of those weekends where it's the best thing to do is sit on the couch and watch some television. Maybe not the best thing, but it's something to do. So the question is binge watching. 312-981-7200 for your text question. But we want to welcome to the show Elise Glink, who is WGN Radio's business innovation analyst. She's won awards. She's nationally syndicated. She's a columnist. She's a television reporter. She's everything. And we're going to talk business here and some Black Friday stuff with Elise Glink. Elise, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Breaking Bad.
Oh, that's your, Breaking Bad.
We just finished. It was awesome.
How long did it take you
to watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
I don't want to say, because people think I work, and I just don't want to disabuse any of that.
It's funny. I know somebody who did it in like 2 weeks. Just sat down and did
the whole thing. It's not a competition, Nick.
I understand.
Just saying.
Isn't everything a competition, Elise?
Well, buying a home these days might
be. Look at that. Look at that segue. Look at that segue.
We call that a pivot.
A pivot. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk first about Black Friday.
Wow. It starts today. I hope everybody's excited.
What?
Actually, Amazon started their deals a few days ago, and we are now seeing... So Black Friday used to be on the Friday after Thanksgiving, right? And then you had Cyber Monday got introduced, like I'm sharing my age, for 20 years ago, when the internet became something other than you dialed it up. And so now what happened is, you know, then it became Black Friday was actually Thanksgiving Day, and then everybody got annoyed with that. So it became Wednesday and Tuesday and Monday. Now it's a full week ahead. You can shop till you drop starting today with amazing deals out there.
Do they have a name for it? Is it like Gray Friday leading
it's
up to Black
Friday? It trends on Twitter as Black Friday, which means we just should call it that.
Okay. So there's two Black Fridays now. So Black Friday 1 and Black Friday 2.
Yeah, it goes the whole week. I think retailers, I mean, if you look at the underlying stuff, what's going on behind it is that retail is not having a great year. The economy, despite, you know, supposedly going gangbusters, everybody really knows it's not really going gangbusters, and retail sales have been kind of trending at a very mediocre place. And I think retailers are doing anything they possibly can, including lighting up Christmas trees before Halloween this year. I don't know if you caught that.
I did, yes.
To get everybody all juiced up. But we've had warm weather. It's been gorgeous. I'm looking at the sunshine right now thinking, why do we have to have snow today? But the warm weather hasn't helped the winter clothes sale, and we've seen, you know, retail sales kind of lagging. And so I think that part of this push to kind of push up push up Black Friday is because they're hoping to push up those sales.
Mm. Well, what are some of the deals that are out there that people can look for, at least?
Well, you should think about what you really want in terms of, like, a big thing. So we're seeing a lot of electronics that are great deals on that. Target and Best Buy for the official Black Friday, which for them is, again, going to start on Thursday, they're offering $250 gift cards, one for Target, one for Best Buy. If you purchase at Target, it's the iPhone 6S or the 6S Plus. Best Buy, you get a $250 Best Buy gift card with a Samsung Galaxy SX purchase. And so you're getting this kind of free money as an inducement to go and buy these things, and that's coming directly from those manufacturers. There's different kinds of televisions. The UHD TV, Target's got a 55-inch Element 4K for a 1080p for $399. Like,
wow.
Amazing. They're Best Buy, again, I can't believe we're talking about Best Buy here in this way, but they've got a Toshiba 49-inch, a 1080 LED, HD TV. Wow, those are a lot of letters, but $149. And then Walmart's got some great stuff. They're guaranteeing iPad Air 2s for $399, the 16-gigabyte ones for an hour. The first, you know, the minute they're open, just be careful of falling walls, doors, and... you know, we don't want anybody getting hurt on Black Friday.
Of course. I mean, the footage of some of the security camera footage over the years of Black Friday is just insane. And here's a question for you, Elise. Are there as many deals available if you just stay home and do it from your computer or on your phone and do it online as opposed to going out among the maniacs?
I think there are, actually. So Cyber Monday, which was the Monday after Thanksgiving, we're now seeing, because of Amazon and the way that Amazon Prime has really taken over so much of how we shop, much to the chagrin of everybody who's doing the local Saturday. What is that called? I can't remember what that's called. You're supposed to shop locally tomorrow on the Saturday.
Small business? Is it Small Business Saturday?
Small Business Saturday, yeah. Right. Everything's got a name and a hallmark identity.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
There's some great deals out there. So Amazon's got, if you just Google, you don't even have to go to Amazon to find this, but if you just Google Amazon Black Friday deals, they have a whole Black Friday Deal Week page, and the Black Friday deals are listed. Every single day there's a special deal. So today's deal is a vacuum cleaner. There's like a fancy one. And then there's a Skywalker 15-foot jump and dunk trampoline for $249 if you need one of those with the snow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
And for you, here's what I'm buying you this year. It's a food saver.
A food saver?
Vacuum-packed food saver.
Look at that.
Yeah, it's cool. Exciting.
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to do with that? But that's what, you know, it's already out there, and every day those deals change from Amazon. And then you can shop till you drop online, exercising your index finger, and all good.
Okay. Now, what do you do personally, at least? Do you take advantage of these deals on Black Friday, or do you just stay away from it all?
You know, it's interesting. My nieces, I have five nieces on one side and like about a million nieces and nephews on the other. And I find that, you know, they're all getting old and they all have a lot of stuff. And so I don't know about you, but it's really, I have two teenagers. It's really hard to know what they want. So this year, my family and I are taking a multi-generational trip, and I'm going to give my nieces, who are going with us, spending money so that they can go and shop in this, in the, wherever it is we're going. Mm-hmm. And I think they're very excited about that because they really like the idea of having cash in their hands. They're kind of young and sweet, and so they like that. And for everybody else, it'll probably be gift cards.
Okay. All right. That's the way to go. I like the gift. Greatest invention of all time, gift card.
It is. And gift card sales are up like crazy. And this is, you know, again, if you can't think of what to get, it's like cash, but they have pretty pictures on them.
You know, I used to buy my cousins like sweatshirts or hoodies, you know, something cool like that, and they go, oh, now I do iTunes, and
that's it.
They're thrilled.
Yeah, you know, I've done that, or Apple gift cards,
yeah,
because they are always needing some software or something else. And then my older son, we buy him the Adobe Creative Suite. He's a tech kid, and every year we renew that, and that's one of his gifts, and he loves it. He uses it every day, and, you know, he's a big digital photographer, and so that kind of stuff, if you really know the kids, it's really nice to give them something like that. But, you know, when you just have so many nieces and nephews running around, it's a little bit hard to keep it straight.
Well, any financial needs or questions, if you're looking to sell or buy a house during the holiday season, Elise has got ideas about that. You can check out thinkglink.com. That's G-L-I-N-K, thinkglink.com. Elise, thanks so much. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too. Thanks, Nick.
All right, take care. Elise Glink, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up right here on 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Northwestern!
All right. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran. Steve Cochran is off on an espionage mission. We're not really sure where he is. But that theme obviously means we're going to be talking with Coach Pat Fitzgerald, the Northwestern Wildcats play in Wisconsin. And Dave is very excited about his trip.
Yes, I am.
And let's welcome Coach Fitz to the show. Fitz, how's it going, man?
I'm doing great. Great to be on with you guys this morning.
Great. Are you excited about the game? And how are you there already?
No, we'll take off here later on this morning. But what is Cochran out with the Bobcat? A little bit of a late night last night,
though? Yeah, Cochran, I don't want to talk about it. Cochran called me up at around 3:30 this morning and said, "You got to come in for me, man." So the details are sketchy, Fitz. So, yeah.
I'm not buying that espionage thing. But,
Well, welcome to the show, and Dave is very excited. Now, Dave, you looking forward to this game? Big one, right?
Absolutely. It's a huge game, and well, let's address the big issue, Pat, which is the weather. Heard some forecasts that Madison actually is going to get a little more snow than we're going to get in this area, and so how do you prepare for this, knowing that weather potentially is going to be a big factor in the game?
Well, you've got to kind of have an alternative game plan, so to speak. You've got things that you like based on what you've seen and what we're doing. And then you've got your weather plan. And, you know, everything kind of goes out the window if the weather is that inclement. As I look at everything, again, I'm not as special of a weather person as most, but it looks like the snow is going to start to taper before we get to kickoff. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, it'll be very similar to what we experienced probably last year at Notre Dame, where the snow was cleared off the field. Kind of miserable for the fans in the stands because the snow will be up there. But from a standpoint of down on the field, this is kind of the first little cold spell. So I don't think the field will be icy. They'll just have to clear the field, and it should be fun. Who doesn't like playing football in the snow?
I mean, it does kind of bring up memories of when you're a kid and you go out there and with your buddies and you're just running around in the snow and it's a mess. Of course, it turns to mud. This is field turf. So what happens to field turf when there's just kind of a slight coating of snow on the field?
Yeah, you know, it really comes down again to whether or not it's icy. And it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case, but that's always the concern is does any surface turn to ice, and especially a field turf surface. Back in the day when we played on AstroTurf, I think back to some of the games off of Michigan State and some other games that I played in, that they had the old salt pellets, you know, like you put on your driveway out on the field to thaw the field out. So, you know, the footing should be fine. It should be entertaining to watch on TV from a standpoint of it is going to remind a lot of people of playing in their own turkey bowls, you know, when we've had some snow when we were kids. And, you know, then all of a sudden you get out there and you just enjoy the heck out of it. So our guys are excited. It's a huge game. You know, I think Jerry Brown, our great assistant head coach, summed it up very well yesterday when he addressed the team on Thursday. That to have a big game in November means there's two good teams playing, and we've got to go show up and act like a good team like we have for most of the year.
And they are two good teams, both teams 8-2, both teams ranked, and there seem to be some similarities, too. You both run the ball very well. I mean, that's been certainly a strong point for you, and over the years that's been a real strong point for Wisconsin, and both real good defenses. So is this one of those games, one of those kind of pound the football, just kind of grind it out type of games?
It's been that way for us, Dave, for 10 weeks now.
Yeah.
So I don't anticipate it, you know, being any different. You know, Joel Stave's done a great job for them, their quarterback. You know, seems like he's been there since my son Brendan was born. And, you know, he's been really steady this year. They've got great skill across the board outside, and defensively they're outstanding. You know, Dave Aranda, their terrific defensive coordinator. There are 3-4 schemes, so they're going to blitz the heck out of Clayton. We know that. And so we've got to get the run game going. We've got to have balance. And anytime there's weather, the kicking game either is going to be entertaining or it's going to be costly. And we've worked the heck out of situational football in the kicking game. And, you know, hopefully we'll go out there and handle it well.
All right. Pat, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. The game is at 2:30 tomorrow.
2:30, 2 o'clock pregame right here.
On WGN. Yeah. Pat, best of luck. Have a great day.
Well, I appreciate it, and we won't talk until next Friday. So happy Thanksgiving to all of our great Wildcat fans throughout here in Chicago. And so go Cats. Thanks.
Right back at you. All right, we'll take a quick break here. We got traffic here. And Mary, what's going on? Morning. 720 WGN. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue on a Friday before the storm comes in. It is Nick Giglio in for Steve Cochran, who's taking this Friday off. There is a big developing story that's actually still happening right now in Mali, and it's a hostage situation. It's a big story. And Andrea, you've been covering it.
Yeah, we've been following this all morning. A Malian military official says 30 hostages have now been freed after 10 gunmen attacked the Radisson Blue Hotel in the capital city. At least 3 people are dead. ABC's Tom Rivers is following the story for us from overseas and joins us with an update. Morning, Tom.
Good morning. Yes, a very strange one. You know, looking at the signature, though, of this particular incident, it does not necessarily look like it's tied into what happened up here in Paris, but it could be a very separate group. There's a number that have some, if you will, allegiance, affiliation to Al-Qaeda and not ISIS. But whatever the case, yes, a few dozen have been released. Special forces have at least entered part of the interior, and have 2 elite units here from France have flown down or are going down right now to Bamako. So about 50 in all going down, and they're going to be there as well. UN forces in the area have surrounded the hotel itself. So it's a very, very fluid situation. It's a kind of a hotel where a lot of expats stay at, diplomats, air crew, you name it, fill in the blank.
Yeah, very popular hotel there in Bamako. Are they making any sort of demands at this point, Tom? Because I know they're still in the hotel.
Yeah, not yet, or at least hasn't certainly been released for us yet. But, you know, these guys seem to be armed to the teeth, so we'll have to see how some plays out today.
Now, they said special forces were actually going floor to floor trying to make contact with the attacker, so there might be some sort of indication that they're either hiding or maybe spread out throughout this particular hotel.
Exactly. It is very, very alarming, especially if they decide to take up one of the upper floors. It's very difficult, you know, to work your way up and then have an upper hand on these 10 gunmen. So, yes, you're absolutely right. It's a difficult situation, tense. We'll see how it plays out.
And we also heard earlier, I think you were mentioning, that a lot of the airline crews stay there. Air France, they had a dozen members of their plane crew, that they are safe, but a lot of the pilots and flight attendants stay at this hotel.
Yeah, they do. And, and that's certainly with the various carriers. They will kind of designate. They'll go around, shop around, find one that suits them. And, yes, air crew will come and go and generally stay oftentimes in the same rooms.
Hey, Tom, initially the report said that there were two gunmen, and it's now moved up to 10. Any chance that is there any news coming in there might even be more?
You know, who knows? There could be a few more, but certainly they dealt with the security in the lobby quite quickly and moved on up in the building. So, you know, there's enough there. There's certainly a lot of security outside the hotel right now, medical units as well, depending on how this thing turns. So it's a watch at this stage of the game. Will it be resolved fairly quickly? We don't know. These things can take different twists and turns.
Yeah, and it's been going on for several hours now. Tom, thank you very much. We appreciate you joining us.
Take care.
All right, thanks.
And Tom is Tom's calling in from Paris, in fact.
Tom is in Paris. Yeah, he's been he's been there all week since the first attacks. Yeah. He was one of the first reporters on the scene and started filing stories for us. But yeah, in Mali, interesting, it was a former French colony too. So that's right. That's the French tie there. Three dead after the gunmen have taken captives. We're hearing more than 50 hostages have been released, and that you brought this up too, Nick. At first we thought there was two gunmen.
Yeah.
Now there's 10, and what's making it difficult as they could be spread throughout that hotel.
Right. And this is like the poshest hotel.
Very posh hotel.
And like, you know, ambassadors and big-time people stay there.
Yeah.
So that was, it seems to be that's the reason why it was probably the target.
The target, yeah. This is the Radisson Blue, and it's in Bamako, the capital city. So, yeah, this is a very affluent hotel.
All right. Well, the newsroom is on top of it here on WGN. Any developments, you will hear about it. Let's take a break here. We've got the big story coming up on WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Yeah. Danimal. Dan Hampton. Just a second here. Nick DiGilio, that's me, in for Steve Cochran, who is on a secret mission somewhere. By the way, you keep your text answers coming in. We have our text question out there. 312-981-7200 for your text. 312-981-7200. What television shows do you binge watch or have you binge watched? It's going to be one of those nights where you want to stay in. You don't want to do anything but watch television. Here's a few really quick ones before we get to Dan Hampton. 815 area code. The Newsroom. I've binge watched it already, and I'm doing it again this weekend. See, we got Longmire is one of them. House of Cards, 815 area code says House of Cards. I understand that Dave and Andrea are fans of House of Cards.
Oh, I completely binge
watched House of Cards.
Did you wipe it out in like one sitting or?
I wiped it out in a weekend.
I haven't quite done one sitting.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I'm behind. I need to catch up.
I'm behind on that one too.
And Homeland, yeah.
Homeland. I'm behind.
I love
on Homeland.
Homeland.
We got Game of Thrones on this list here. I binge watched Jane the Virgin season one on Netflix. Can I just say Jane the Virgin, very entertaining show, and the show before it, I want to mention because nobody's really watching it. It's a great show. It's called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And it is.
I love the name.
It's a great show, and nobody's
Who's
watching.
Who's
it?
The star of that?
Rachel Bloom.
Okay.
And it's a great show. It's crazy and weird and funny, and it's also a musical. There are like three musical numbers per show, so it's pretty cool. And then we've got two or three Homelands, but I think the one that is taking up all the text here is Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is the one that I believe everybody has binge-watched. So, binge-watching is what we're talking about. You want to send your text, it's 312-981-7200. Now we got to get to Hampton. Good old Dan Hampton, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Hamp, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning. And I'm guessing Cochran's getting ready for his binge-watching of Matlock. He's a...
Nice.
Let's go back to them. It's either that or he's out turkey herding for next week.
I'm going with the Matlock. I think you're on to something, Hamp. I think he particularly likes watching the Don Knotts episodes. How you been, man?
But, you know, it's interesting that you brought up the crazy ex-girlfriend angle because, you know, in an abstract way, that's what we've got going on this week. And even though Mother Nature's going to try to make Denver feel at home with this little blast of snow, you know and I know that Jay Cutler and John Fox, Adam Gase, a bunch of guys on this football team, they have a little bit of a axe to grind with the organization in Denver. So it's going to be real interesting to see how not only the Bears react, but the type of, what would you call it, zeal that they play in this game. You know and I know that, you know, the first, what is it, nine games of the season, the Bears have been underdogs. Well, for the first time, they're not an underdog. They're at home. They're playing against a team that does not have an established quarterback. So this is going to be real interesting to see how the Bears react.
So they're not the underdog this week, despite the fact that Denver's 7-2.
It's and I was making this point to Hubarkus yesterday. I said, you know, everybody's life, you know, day to day, this week you're happy, last week you're sad, blah, blah. Think about this. 3 weeks ago, the Bears are coming off of those two losses at Detroit and then at home against Minnesota. They were roadkill. Everybody hated them. Nobody thought, you know, the team was going to do anything. And Denver was still, what, 7-0. And now, 3 weeks later, Denver's in a free fall, and the Bears are the sexy hot pick in the NFL to make the playoffs. So who knows? All I can tell you is the reason the Bears have won the last couple of weeks is pretty simple. They're doing a lot of good stuff. You know, Jay Cutler has, we said on the post game last week, we said, hey, if you said right now who is the hottest quarterback in the NFC North, it wouldn't be Aaron Rodgers, it wouldn't be Teddy Bridgewater, it wouldn't be Matt Stafford, it would be Jay Cutler. So there's a lot of good stuff, even with Forte being nicked up, Jeremy Langford's done a remarkable job of coming in. There's a little bit of blowback from Forte about, oh, well, nobody appreciates me. But, you know, that is truly the nature of the NFL. You have to play 16 weeks, and if you can't play, well, somebody else will. Mm. And you just you know that on the front end, and you can't worry about it. But all in all, there's a lot of reasons to like this little football team the Bears have put together.
That's right. All right, Hamp, hang on, okay, man?
You bet.
Dan Hampton's hanging on here. We're going to take a break. We'll have more with Dan coming up.
Did you just tell a Hall of Famer to hang on?
Sorry. Dan, I didn't make you mad, did I?
Oh, no, no.
Okay.
No, I was going to TiVo some stuff here. We're getting ready for you.
All right, getting ready for the TiVo. Okay, Hamp, hang on a second. Just tell me when I make him mad, okay, Dave? That's what I want, and then I can run out of the room.
I'll let you
even
know.
Over the phone, I'm terrified of him. Let's go to traffic. Here's Mary.
Well, really good. Talented group. Much like last week, I mean, talented corners. These guys have a little bit more experience, which makes them a little bit more dangerous. They picked off quite a few balls, returned them, thing one-on-one on the outside. So you got to be wary of them.
Yeah. Nick DiGilio here in for Steve Cochran. That's Cutler. Jay Cutler talking about Denver's defense. Big game this Sunday. And Dan Hampton, Danimal, joins us, as he does every week, to talk about the preview of this game. Noon at Soldier Field. We might have a little snow. Dan, do you enjoy playing in the snow?
Oh, yeah. You know, guys, elements don't really come into play as much as you think. And I got to tell you, here it is just a few days before Thanksgiving. The field should be in perfect condition, even if they got to cover it, even if they have to get the snow out of the way. But the two things about this game that I think are really interesting is, you know, it's funny how, you know, the twists and turns of how things have changed. And when Jay Cutler was there 6 or 7 years ago, there's only one guy left from that team. And you would think that he, you know, like I said, it's like the crazy ex-girlfriend. You got a grudge to settle. But there's really nobody there that he remembers. One guy, Ryan Clady, their fine left tackle, is on injured reserve. But other than that, I don't think there's a soul on the roster that Jay played with. So, you know, I mean, this is all, you know, fun to kick around in the media. But it breaks down to whether or not we can block their defense. Because right now, Denver's defense is the dominant portion of this game. And for us to win, we've got to do it. And they're going to be without DeMarcus Ware, one of their best players. So, you know, it's doable. I'm really excited about the matchup for a lot of reasons. Getting to 5-5, you know, and everybody goes, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does matter, because if you look at the standings, I think there's only five teams in the NFC with a better record. So what does that mean? It means you're in the middle of it. So why not, you know, go for the brass ring?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. I made this comment earlier, Hamp. You look at Jacksonville winning last night. They're 4-6, and they're, what, a half game out of first place. If the Bears were to lose Sunday, and they could still be in the race if they're in another division. As it is, they're not in bad shape, though. If they get to 5-5 with a game at Green Bay on Thanksgiving, and obviously the Packers are not operating at peak efficiency right now, who knows what's going to happen. But let's talk about the Denver defense. And I mean, guys like Von Miller and Aqib Talib, and I mean, it's kind of like it's like a Pro Bowl team. So how do you neutralize those guys?
They are an ultra speed defense, and what they like to do is, and ideally, you know, they want to get a lead and then turn that defense loose on you with the pass rush. And you know, and I know that the best way you can defeat a speed team is to pound on them and make them have to play the run, make them have to make tackle after tackle, and kind of wear them down. But it's imperative that we don't fall behind, because even with you know, Brock Osweiler, if they get a lead, then that defense becomes even more of a factor. Consequently, if we can get an early lead in this game, that defense cannot play, pin their ears back. They're going to have to play, you know, both facets of the game, and we can control it. But more importantly, you know, the quick passes, we don't want to get into a situation where we're down 10-14, and then we got to, you know, go to the seven-step drop, because that is exactly what this defense is built to stop. So, hey, it's imperative on Jay Cutler. He's got to be the man, and, we've talked about it this year. You look at all these different ratings. Of course, Tom Brady, Carson Palmer are having great years. But a lot of other quarterbacks, like Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson, they're not playing as well. And you can put Jay not only maybe in that grouping or that category, but when you do that, it's not based on 1 or 2 weeks. He needs to be able to continue being a dominant quarterback. And again, getting the ball out quick, you know, Adam Gase has a fantastic luxury. He knows almost every one of those players on defense. He knows exactly what their strengths are and their weaknesses. It'll be real interesting to see the game plan he puts together.
And by the same token, Denver knows John Fox's tendencies, and they know Adam Gase's tendencies. How much of that familiarity with a former staff or former coach facing his old team, is that overstated at all? I mean, you guys went up against Buddy Ryan in Philadelphia after he had coached you. Does it help?
You know, I don't know if it helps, but at the end of the day, I think knowing the players means more than knowing the coach. So I think if there's an advantage, it would be for Fox. And remember, Kubiak and these guys, they've come in. They weren't there last year. So it would be just whatever lingering knowledge that players have, or Kubiak from years past matching up with John Fox teams. But all this being said, you know, the Darth Vader guy character in this movie is John Elway. John Elway is basically the reason John Fox is no longer there. You know, they won the division 4 straight years, but it wasn't good enough for John Elway. And John Elway said, hey, you know, that's, you know, getting beat at home by Andrew Luck and this Indianapolis Colts team is the final straw. Get out. And so it'll be interesting to see exactly how much impetus the Broncos put on this game. You know, and I know, you know, in their world, the Bears game is not as big as it is to us. But what you were talking about a moment ago, Mr. Cat, this is a big game. You know, and once you start winning, every game is the biggest game of the year. Well, guess what? If we lose to this game Sunday, then the Thanksgiving game almost becomes irrelevant. So, all in all, this is a mighty big game for a lot of reasons. But you win against Denver, boy, sneaking into Green Bay and stealing one against, I don't want to say a dysfunctional Green Bay team, but a team that is has lost its way. They've lost three straight for the first time in, what, 4 or 5 years? So they're struggling, and this is, hey, this is a, when we looked at the schedule way back in August, this looked like a really bad spot. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think the Bears are savoring it.
All right, Hamp, knowing Matt Forte is close, he didn't practice yesterday. If he's okay to go Sunday, do you play him Sunday, or do you wait, knowing you got another game 5 days later? Do you err on the side of caution and hold him out until Thursday and play him against the Packers?
Well, it's up to him. And if he is cleared and he wants to play, you let him play. And the other part of it is he doesn't get 30 carries. You know, you keep Langford, even Kadeem Carey in there. And you like I said, against a defense like this, we used to, think about platooning running backs and make them tackle 50 times during the course of a game in a small, quick speed defense. They wear down. So, I mean, I'm one of those guys that if it's all hands on deck, it means you're ready to go. But all those things being considered, yeah, you're exactly right. Do what you can do, but hey, we need to keep our eye on Thursday because that's a critical spot in the schedule for the Bears.
All right, Hamp, real quick prediction.
19-17, Bears win another one.
All right, and Dave,
Bears 20-16 over the erstwhile Osweiler and the Broncos.
All right, and
I like that. Erstwhile Osweiler.
Bears.
Sorry,
I'm going Bears.
Okay,
score.
21-17.
Good. Okay. Kev, 2017 Bears. All right. I'm going 14-6 Bears.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. All right, Hamp. We'll find out on Monday. Thanks, man. Have a great weekend.
Go Bears.
All right, buddy. Go Bears. Got a break here. News coming up. Let me photograph you in this light in case it is the last time that we might be exactly like we were before we realized we were stuck getting old. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here filling in for Steve Cochran. Cochran is he left. He just walked out. He was here, but then he's like, I'm getting out. I'm leaving.
He's salting his driveway in anticipation of all the snow.
Yeah, he's got to move the double wide.
Yeah.
So we are in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue, 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here. And coming up in just a few minutes, Steve Kazee is going to join us. Terrific actor and a singer. The guy's won a Tony for his performance in the Broadway production of the show Once, which was based on the movie, which is a great movie and a terrific show. He has also just announced that he's joined the cast of Nashville, which is a show that maybe a lot of people have binge-watched, and he's part of a show called Legends on TNT with Sean Bean, which is a terrific show. So he's going to join us. Coming up later on, Terry Crews is going to be with us. Absolutely hilarious guy. You know him from the Old Spice commercials and from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He hosts a show called World's Funniest Fails on Fox every Friday night. We'll talk to him. Very funny, very talented guy. And more coming up right here on WGN. By the way, it's the 8 a.m. Hour sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. And there's a reason Maximus played Adele, Kevin Maximus Powell. Explain this. So as the kids say, her album is dropping today.
It's dropping today. Adele's much-anticipated album, 25. That's what it's called, right, Andrea? 25.
It is, yep.
Yeah. It comes out today. Mm-hmm. Going to break all kinds of records.
Yeah.
It did already, didn't it? Didn't they?
I think so, like, yeah.
Yeah, she got like the most pre-sale downloads for Hello.
Mm-hmm.
So I was telling Kevin this off the air. When I was a drinking man, I used to hang out at a bar that had the Adele CD, the last one on the jukebox. And there was a guy who would enjoy dropping $5 in the jukebox and playing nothing but Adele for like 2 hours, including that Someone Like You song. Over and over again. The guy had a crush on the bartender there, and she rebuffed him. And so he'd play that Someone Like You song like 8,000 times a night. You know, we're all trying to watch the Hawks game, and this guy's blasting Adele.
You can't play that at a bar.
Yeah. So I have an issue with Adele. It has nothing to do with her. It has to do with that idiot who kept playing that song 15,000 times a night.
It is a good song. You're right, though, but so many songs just get overplayed.
Yeah. I don't get it. By the way, Dean is not going to be with us. Dean is with Steve whatever they're doing together, I don't want to know, but they're together right now. Dean is normally here, and he's sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. All right. If you want to send in your texts, we have text question out there. What shows or show do you binge watch or have you binge watched? Got a lot of House of Cards coming in. 708 area code says Downton Abbey. Let's see. 219 says American Horror Story this season, Hotel. 815 area code says, I binge watch Shameless with William H. Macy. By the way, the actor that we're going to be having on in a few minutes is a star of Shameless. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Right now, though, we got to get into the traffic, and here is Mary. So, yeah.
A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight.
Is this from Adele's album?
Yeah, it's from 25. Fresh off her album.
Is this dropping today?
It's just dropped.
This just dropped, man. See, now I'm talking all hip.
There you go.
Because I know what the kids like. Hey, Taylor Swift is cool. I don't know.
It's T-Swift, dude.
T-Swift? Okay, sorry. T-Swift. She just dropped.
I love that.
I don't know. Who is this singing this, the Winter Wonderland?
I don't know who it is, to be honest.
Nice job, Maximus.
You got it.
Remember when they had cassette singles?
Cassingles. I had cassingles.
Oh, I mean, I don't remember that.
Hi, Mary. Mary's just wandering through. You're grabbing some food. There's some food here. Kevin's going to tell you all about it in a little bit. Right, Kev?
Oh, what a great spread this morning.
Yeah.
That's a tease for my plug.
A tease for your plug.
Yes.
That's a pivot.
That's a pivot right there.
You know what's funny is Kevin, I believe, you know, like when we get some food sent here, I believe Kevin is like, oh, yeah, we'll take some food, sure. You know that 800 people work on the show?
Right.
Well, there's food there for the next 2 months. If people don't want Thanksgiving, you know, they don't have Thanksgiving time for Thanksgiving dinner, just come to this studio.
Mm-hmm. Well, they said, we'll bring you food for 15 to 20 people. I said, yeah, that's perfect. There's about eight of us on the morning show.
And do you notice how everyone comes
Here comes the newsroom. Yeah, we never see him until the food
everybody
comes.
Everybody comes and says hi.
Oh, hi.
When we have food.
Hi. Yeah. Otherwise,
just
it's
not
like,
on a regular day. Hey, Nathan.
And it's
Andrea.
It's even more extraordinary because I'm here. So that usually keeps everybody away.
That's when, not true.
When Nick DiGilio is in. All right, listen, we played Winter Wonderland because it's Adele and it dropped. No, that's not true. We played it because obviously there's a big winter storm coming, the first big one of the season, and we asked Tim McGill to hang out with us a little bit more. Tim, what are we looking at, and how soon before we get slammed?
Well, first, Adele has a new CD out?
I haven't heard about it.
Wow.
It's news to me. Yeah.
Wow. We are looking at it, Nick, probably starting around 6, 7 o'clock-ish. It might be a bit of a mix when it begins, a mix of rain and snow, mainly snow north and west of the city. But the worst of it's going to fall anywhere between, say, midnight, 7, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. It'll taper off then probably after lunchtime tomorrow. But by then, you could be looking at as much as 6 inches to close to a foot north and west of the city, our far northern northwestern suburbs. We're still thinking in and around the city, a 2 to 5 inch range, and then probably south and east of the city, about 1 to 3. We've got a pretty warm body of water just east of the city. We're going to have a wind off that lake, so it's going to prevent that changeover as early as it's going to occur north and west of the city. Downtown, it's going to take a little longer for that to change over to snow, and the ground's still pretty warm, so a lot of things to consider here, but that's the basic range we're going with. Anywhere from a 1 to 3 south, 2 to 5 in and around the city, 6 to 10 inches north and west possibly.
And, you know, it's actually Mother Nature is at least picking a good time for this to happen, because it's probably going to happen well after a rush hour, correct?
Well, there won't be much of a rush hour. Yeah, tonight's rush hour.
Yeah, that's
exactly
what I'm saying.
Yes, I was thinking of tomorrow morning. But, no. Yeah, tonight, most of it will occur after the evening rush hour, yeah, it looks like. But and good timing on Saturday, too, because we won't have much of a rush hour to deal with tomorrow. So that's the good news.
Yeah, that's true. All right, what are we looking at? How long is this going to last? Is this just going to wash away? What are we looking at for the next week? Warmer temperatures and the snow is going to be gone?
Well, first, we're going to get a push of some really cold air. So it's kind of a 1-2. We're going to get the 6 to 10 inches of snow in our hardest city areas, and then we're going to see temperatures drop to the teens, it looks like, Sunday morning for that Bears game on Sunday. Might get up to 30, probably in the 20s much of the day. But after that, we do see a warm-up. We're going to turn the corner. It'll be in the 40s for Tuesday and Wednesday. And the early forecast for Thanksgiving, I stress early, but we could hit 50 degrees on Thanksgiving Day. So it'll all be gone within a few days.
So we're not looking at a white Thanksgiving?
I don't think so. I think most of it will be gone by then.
Okay. All right, Tim. Thanks for hanging out with us. I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. There you go. Tim McGill giving us a report because it's a big storm coming through. So at least it's not like we were talking about. If it's going to happen, you know, Friday night through Saturday and have it be gone by Monday, that's nice.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, that's really nice.
Sorry, Dave. Oh, yeah. It all goes back to the drive to Madison.
Timing is perfect just when I'm driving to Madison.
You'll
be fine.
Go catch.
Yeah. Keep that in your head while you're driving.
Just leave now.
Okay, I have a basketball game.
He's got a basketball game.
Yeah, just I told
can you
to
do
Skype
the basketball game over the phone?
Skype it.
I don't think so.
While you're driving?
That would be hard to do.
While you're driving, hands free.
Because you can't hold the phone.
You can have his Bluetooth it.
You can be like, all right, there's a pitcher. Damn it! What happened? Somebody just cut me off.
Dave, if you make it there, you can stay with my son. You know, he lives there now.
So. Well, I actually have a hotel room, but thanks for the offer.
I'm
there.
Right off
I'm sure
the highway.
Can your son come down and pick him up?
Oh, yeah. Not
see, there's an idea,
not in
right
his
there.
Car, he, I don't think so.
Not in his car.
No. I wonder if I could take Uber. You think Uber would drive me to Madison?
Yeah, sure
I think
they would. It'd be like $600.
By the way, I do want to mention very quickly. If you guys have not seen last week on SNL, which was one of the probably the best ones so far this season. It wasn't great, but it was the best one of the season. They did a bit where with like an Uber, like a nightmare Uber experience.
Oh.
And if you've not seen it and you've ever used Uber, Elizabeth Banks who's brilliantly funny, was the host, and they did a bit with her having a weird Uber driver.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dave, stay away from weird Uber drivers.
I'll do my best.
Okay. All right. And did she get into the Uber car? Yeah, take me to Madison.
Yeah. They'd look at me like, what?
Get out.
Yeah.
All right. We got a break here. We got the big story coming up right here on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. Nick in for Steve. Steve Cochran taking the morning off, and I'm here. That song that you hear, you probably know from the movie and from the stage musical of Once. And on lead vocals there is Steve Kazee, who is an actor who won a Tony Award for Best Performance by a Leading Male Actor in a Musical for Once. And has also won a as well as a Grammy Award. He's part of that, and is also on television and in movies. And we were talking a little bit earlier. One of the text questions that we put out this morning. And if you want to join us, you can by texting your answer to 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, is what shows or television shows do you or are you currently binge watching? And we brought this up for a couple of reasons. One, the phrase binge watching was the number one word/phrase that's been added to Collins Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be one of those weekends where staying in is your best option. If you don't have to go anywhere, don't go anywhere. Because we're going to get some serious weather. So the best thing to do is just stay in, veg out, and watch TV. So we threw out the text question, what do you binge watch? And 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We've got a few more here. Seinfeld, 9 full seasons to watch. Aside from numerous car phone references, everything they say and do still applies today. Okay. I watch Seinfeld. I watch too much Seinfeld. It's just not healthy for me.
I watch that when it's on. You know, if I happen to pop on the TV and it's on, but I don't binge watch Seinfeld.
I
go crazy
for. Yeah, I can't stand Friends.
Oh, I love Friends. Oh,
but... we got Breaking Bad on here yet again. And yet now we're getting a lot of people who binge watch Shameless. And in fact, my next guest is one of the stars of Shameless. He's been in a bunch of stuff. And we welcome Steve Kazee to the show. Steve, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks. Good morning.
Good morning, man. Congratulations on all your acclaim. Let me ask you this. What was it like to do the musical version of Once? Because when I heard that they were actually going to do a Broadway musical out of it, my immediate reaction was, how are they going to do that? Because it's such a small and intimate and little film. Tell me about what that was like working on Once.
Well, we had very similar reactions, except my reaction was I thought it was probably the worst idea I'd ever heard for a Broadway show. I remember I read a press release that someone had bought the rights for it, and I just thought it was a horrible idea. It's one of my favorite films, and like you, I thought it was just way too intimate to be put onto a stage for 1,100 people. But having met the creative team, I just had this faith in them. I believed that they believed what they were doing, and they were very intelligent men and women, and they ended up putting together a show that I think transcended the space that it was in. We first started doing it in a little tiny, basically a bar in Boston, for about, 50 to 60 people. Then we transferred it to New York Theater Workshop for about, 99 people, and then moved it to Broadway for 1,100. In each space, it just took on a new life of its own. I was actually very impressed and proud that it did so well on Broadway.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got yourself a Tony. Congratulations on that.
I did get a Tony out of the deal. Not too bad.
Yeah. Now, how hands on was Glenn Hansard in the creation?
Glenn was around, but Glenn, much like with a film, you sign over your rights to the songs, and someone else directs the film, and that kind of thing. So Glenn was involved in the sense that ultimately it's his music, it's his baby. But he was involved in more of a mentor role, and he was wonderful to me. He came and saw a few rehearsals, and we spent some time together afterwards, just playing the songs together, and he told me what he wrote the songs for, and that offered me as an actor just this great, dearth of information to sort of be playing underneath all of those songs. And I'm forever indebted to that guy. He has been one of my favorites, and I think will always be one of my favorites. He's a wonderful human being.
I've had the honor of interviewing him a couple of times. Incredibly humble, very, very sweet guy, and enormously talented.
Oh, so wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's all so genuine. Like I just said, he's Irish, and I think one of the things that I learned about this show was hanging out with a bunch of Irish musicians and just see how sort of genuine that culture is. There's no sort of fronting going on. It's just this is what you get, and you either like it or you don't, and it's pretty wonderful for the most part. it was a great experience. I had a wonderful time on that show.
Steve, doing musical theater is great, but what do you prefer? Because you do a lot of movies, you do a lot of television. Do you prefer being on the boards, or do you prefer in front of the camera?
It's a question you get asked a lot. I don't know that there's an answer, because they're both such different forms. I mean, all three of them actually are such different forms, but TV and film sort of share a world, and stage shares its own little part of the world. It's the immediacy. I think you'll always hear actors say there's an immediacy to being on the stage, that you feel the response. Like, I did Spamalot on Broadway. I'm a huge Monty Python fan, and there was nothing quite like playing a laugh on Broadway, like trying to navigate an audience of 11 to 1,200 people who find something so hilarious on Friday night, and then the next audience on Saturday doesn't find it funny at all. And you have to find a way to navigate that sort of in the moment. And I will always miss that until I end up back on stage someday. There's you just don't get that same thing from television and film. Like, I finished the show. We filmed a show for TNT that I'm doing right now over in Prague for the entire summer, and then I waited for 4 months for it to get on the air.
Right.
So it's just a strange dichotomy in that world that you have to wait for so long. But they're both so unique. I sort of love them. I love them all.
It's interesting, Steve. I've done a lot of storefront theater here in Chicago, and most of it comedy. And it's so funny what you think is going to kill one night and it bombs the next night. Exactly what you mentioned.
I was so lucky. I got to work with Mike Nichols on Spamalot, one of the greatest directors of all time. And he had these simple little things that he would say to you. And two of my favorites actually was kill your babies. just like, if you think something is funny, no one else is going to think it's funny. So kill that baby and like let it move on.
Yeah.
And then the other one was don't put a hat on a hat. A lot of times, as you probably know, you get out there and you do a joke and people aren't laughing and you're like, all right, let me add a joke to that.
Yeah.
And it just never worked that way. So you kind of always just had to sit back and let the audience tell you what was funny and just ride that wave. But that's, again, the great thing about live theater is it's like a living, breathing organism, and everybody from the ushers to the ticket taker to the people backstage to on stage, the directors, everyone's a part of making this piece of art. It's a very beautiful thing that we have. I hope it sticks around for a while.
Yeah, it's great. All right, Steve, very quickly, let's talk about the second season of Legends. And it's going to be completely different because Sean Bean is in it, and he plays an FBI agent who is like a master of disguise. Things are going to be a lot different on this season than last, correct?
Yeah, well, last season was more of an episodic, which is, you know, your CSIs and your NCISs, like each episode is its own standalone thing. And there, you know, there might be an overarching story, but for the most part, it was like Sean would take on a character for the whole episode because he's this, you know, deep cover FBI guy. So one week he's, you know, an undercover arms dealer, you know, and so that's the episode. And I think TNT really liked the premise, but they didn't like how it was done. And so they came in and they just basically got rid of everything except for Sean and a little bit of Morris Chestnut. And then they made it into this wonderful serialized, like, Homeland type drama where you're following one major arc for the whole season. And Sean, you know, basically is playing himself, you know, just one character who has these, you know, multiple personalities, but he doesn't go into them, you know, on an episodic basis.
Right.
It's a dark and gritty drama. I'm actually one of the things I'm most proud of that I've done in my life. It's beautifully shot. It's wonderfully directed, and I think that the performances are just outstanding. So,
right.
You know,
yeah.
You know, we often as actors have to come and sell these things, but this is one of those that I can tell you I'm like really proud of the work that we've done.
Yeah, it's great stuff. It's called Legends. It's on Monday nights, 9 o'clock Central Time here in Chicago on TNT, and you should look at it. And also, we got to let you go, Steve, but I wanted to say congratulations for joining the cast in Nashville. You're gonna have fun on that.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I've already been there a little bit. It's a wonderful time, so it's great.
Yeah. All right, Steve, thanks so much for... Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran. And we were talking last week, or not last week, just a couple of days ago when I was in Songs That Make You Happy. That one makes me happy every time they play it at the UC.
Mm-hmm.
Because it means a goal has been scored. The Hawks are on their circus trip, and they play tonight in Calgary with pregame at 7:30 and the puck drop at 8 o'clock. And with that pregame is going to be our very own Judd Surratt. Judd, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome. Oh, by the way, this hour is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks, the 8 o'clock hour, Wintrust Community Banks. So, Judd, pretty good so far. I mean, first game on the... on the circus trip, I don't think it should have gone to overtime, but that's just me. What do you make of what's going on?
Well, you and I had a chance to talk. I think it was after the Edmonton game the other night. It was a terrific performance by Corey Crawford. He got a key goal by Marian Hossa there in overtime. But overall, even as Joel Quenneville admitted after the game, that was not a great performance. They got to pick it up in Calgary. I think that there is a good sign, however, Nick, that the Blackhawks are starting to get goals from a variety of different sources, and that's been part of their issue on the road this season. For the most part, it's been one line doing all of their scoring, whether it's been at home or on the road, that Kane and Nisimov and Panarin line.
Yeah.
But you see Hossa getting involved. You saw Andrew Shaw score a big goal the other night, which probably should have won the game for him in regulation. It didn't happen, but that's also a good sign. And Marcus Kruger, a guy who we don't often talk about, but he's such an unsung hero for this team, and his contributions are so meaningful. He was the guy who helped set that up. That was his first point of the season. Hopefully that's a good trend, and they put forth a better 60 minutes tonight in Calgary.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you mentioned Marian Hossa. Marian Hossa is my favorite player on the Hawks, and it's nice to see him on a roll right now, you know?
It's great. Goals in back-to-back games. I was talking to Bob Hartley, who's the coach of the Calgary Flames, when they were in town about 10 days ago, and he had a chance to coach Marian in Atlanta, and I asked Bob, I said, when Marion's gone into slumps in the past, and remember this is a guy this year who was basically stuck on one goal for about 5 or 6 weeks, how did he get himself out of it? And he said, with Marian, he plays so well and he adds so much to your team game in so many ways, whether it's offensively or defensively, on special teams, whether it's the power play or the penalty kill, that you never want to curtail his ice time. He works so hard and ultimately he'll work his way out of it. and he was able to do it the other night. He's really been able to do it here in the last couple of games. And usually he can get on some runs where he can put together five goals in six games.
Yeah.
Or seven goals in 10 games. So
yeah, throwing
him out there.
Yeah, he's a streaky player. There's no question about it. But he's just the man. I mean, he really is. And I love the little piece of trivia that he played with Marco Dano's dad, and now he's playing with Marco Dano on his line.
That's true. I think Marco, one of the things that really excited him when he came to the Blackhawks is that Marion was a guy that he idolized, because obviously Marion and Marco's dad have a connection. And hopefully Marco is able to pick it up. I know it's been sort of a sluggish start for him. He didn't play a whole lot the other night, especially while the Blackhawks had a lead. I don't think that was because he was benched. I think the way that Joel likes to coach, a lot of times if he has a lead on the road, he's going to go and play his most reliable defensive players early on. And I think Marco's still learning to play that style and to play well without the puck. But I expect him to be back in that same spot with Taves and Hossa tonight in Calgary.
Judd, what's the biggest difference you see defensively with the Blackhawks since the return of Duncan Keith?
Well, Dave, I think it's their ability to get out of their own zone a lot easier. I think while they were able to make some decent exits, and they did a decent job while he and Michael Roosevelt were out of the lineup, I think the biggest difference is that ability to transition. And that's maybe the most dangerous part of what the Blackhawks do, is that transition from defense to offense. Mm-hmm. And they're able to do it a whole lot easier, because it's not just Duncan Keith with his ability to make those great 80-foot passes tape to tape and trigger the offense, but Michael Roosevelt's ability to sort of see and execute the ice, or execute some of the plays that he sees in front of him. Plus, both of those guys have so much poise with the puck. Just that extra second in a game that moves so fast can make a whole lot of difference.
Yeah, it really, I mean, you could see it on Saturday when they played in St. Louis last Saturday. I mean, just like the difference right out of the gate with them back in the, you know, in the lineup was something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it puts everybody in the proper spot. And I think there were some great guys who really showed up and absorbed a lot of the ice time while Duncan was out of the lineup in particular. I think Brent Seabrook's story really hasn't been talked about enough here. Yeah. Early in the season.
Yeah.
What he was doing defensively, what he was also doing offensively. He's off to a great start offensively. He's got four goals here early in the season for a guy who has never scored in double digits. And I think there's a lot of offense there. We don't often see it from him. He's been great on the man advantage. And Trevor Van Riemsdyk, I got to check the ice time again this morning, but among all rookies in the National Hockey League, he is leading the league in average ice time. He has been such a reliable presence. And you don't think about him as a rookie, even though he only played 18 games last year, I think, during the regular season, and,
right,
and only a smattering of games in the playoffs because he had two freak injuries. But this guy has played with a poise and maturity that go well beyond his age.
How's Siebe's eye?
I saw he had a zipper right above that right eye.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he'll have something that his mom and dad will have a chance to talk about over the dinner table, because as the Blackhawks head out west, you know, a lot of these guys have so much family out west, and
right,
Brent Seabrook is a BC guy.
It's funny because it came off of Frolik's stick, and Frolik felt, and you could tell Frolik felt terrible about it.
Oh no, I mean, one of the biggest-hearted guys in the National Hockey League and a great teammate for a couple of seasons. And he immediately came over and said to Brent Seabrook, oh, my gosh, I feel so bad.
Yeah.
But it was just an accidental play. I think he was looking to either shoot or pass the puck.
Yeah.
And the puck deflected off Seabrook's stick and came right up and hit him.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, but Seabrook will have to deal with some stitches for a while.
Judd, you do a fantastic job pregame at 7:30 tonight right here on WGN, and the circus trip continues.
Good to talk with you and Dave.
All right.
See you, Judd.
See you, Judd. There you go, Judd Surratt. And we'll take a break here. We got the news coming up.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
720 WGN.
Hey! Yeah. Hey! Morning, everybody. It's Friday morning. Beautiful outside now.
I know, it's nice and sunny.
It's sunny, it's bright, it's beautiful, a little chill in the air,
mm-hmm,
but mm-hmm, it's not going to last.
Mm, it's nice now.
Yeah.
Couple hours.
So enjoy it.
About 9 hours.
Yeah.
A little messy.
Not so good. Nick DiGilio, that's me, in for Steve Cochran, who is on a mission.
What's your mission?
I don't know what mission it is, but he's on a secret mission. But, yeah, so. Anyway, so I'm here. You're stuck with me. Here till 10 o'clock.
Just fine.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we're happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk.
Chicago.
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Hey, Mr. Ennett, I was wondering if you would tell me what the All-Star Game is.
Well, Katie, you haven't really paid much attention to sports, have you? The NHL All-Star Game is probably undergoing more changes in format, in all fairness to Katie.
Including the name?
Right. Name? Well, it's a setup. Anyway, it's had more changes in format than any of its counterparts from any other major sports. And this week, another one announced. The NHL and its Players Association announced the game will be changed from a single game to a three-on-three tournament with players grouped by their team's division. There will be a team from each NHL division, the Central, Pacific, Atlantic, and Metropolitan, 11 players per team, 6 forwards, 3 D-men, and 2 goaltenders. The two Western Conference divisions face each other. The winner will face the winner from among the two Eastern divisions in the All-Star Game final. The games will be 20 minutes in length. If the game is tied, no overtime, there will be a shootout. The first NHL All-Star Game was played in 1947 with the Stanley Cup champs against All-Stars from the other, at the time, 5 teams. Later, they went to a game between the first-team All-Stars and second-team All-Stars. In the 60s, they went to an East versus West matchup. Later, the Wales Conference against the Campbell Conference. In the late 90s, they tried the World All-Stars against North American-born stars. They went back to East versus West, adding a player draft with the players choosing up sides among themselves. And now, 3-on-3. For now, we'll see if this is one that has staying power, or in a few years they'll look to change the format once again.
It seems kind of goofy to me. I don't know.
I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's the All-Star game. It's just fun anyway.
Only 20 minutes, so yeah. I mean,
you know, the skills competition is the best part of that weekend. That's always a blast.
Which will be continued and still Eastern Conference versus Western Conference, I believe.
Yeah. You remember the All-Star Game in 2011, how unbelievable Sharp played?
Yes.
God.
Yes. Yeah, there have been some great games, but most of the All-Star Games have been like 10-9 or 12-11. Ridiculous. So, anyway, that's our Hawkopedia for today.
Hawkopedia. Dave, what's an All-Star Game?
Well, Nick, let me try to explain it to you.
Hey, Fresh Wave sponsors that, and that's the official deodorizer of the Chicago Blackhawks. Thank you, Dave, Mr. Ennett.
You're welcome, right. Mr. DiGiulio.
Take a break. We got the big story coming up, the news, and Terry Crews is going to join us. Terry Crews, terrific actor, and we'll talk to him coming up after the break. Here we go. Yeah. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here. Hi. Filling in for Steve Cochran, who is off on a covert mission somewhere. Coming up, Terry Crews is going to join us. Very funny guy who's in those insane Old Spice commercials. He's the lunatic, large, muscular man screaming in the Old Spice commercials. I find those things hilarious.
He's very easy on the eyes.
He's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's great on that. The first time I remember really, really falling in love with the guy was he played the overworked dad on Everybody Hates Chris. He was so great on that. He's also in a great movie called Idiocracy. But right now he's hosting a show on Fox every Friday night. You can see it tonight. It's called World's Funniest. We'll give you all the details on that.
How many times a day do you think he works out?
Once.
Wow.
Once a week.
That's it?
That's what,
no
I don't
way.
Know. I'm just being,
not for that body.
No. He played with the NFL. He played in the NFL for a while. So he's a football
once an
player.
Hour.
Hey,
wow.
By the way, we just discovered that we have another pair of tickets for James Taylor to give away. Right, Dan? Dan. I keep calling you Dan because that's what my producer's name is. Kevin. That's his name.
I'm here for you, Nick. What's up?
Listen, Maximus, we got a pair of James Taylor tickets to give away, right?
We do. We've got a pair of James Taylor. We have a pair of tickets to see the Vienna Boy Choir.
Okay, well, let's do this. Caller 7. By the way, the James Taylor tickets go on sale in 20 minutes.
Right.
LiveNation.com. LiveNation.com. Tickets go on sale in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. For James Taylor, caller 7.
Yeah, 312-981-7200.
And then you said we have vanilla? Vienna Boys Choir?
Correct, Vienna Boys Choir.
Got a pair of tickets for that. It's a performance, Thanksgiving performance on November 28th at the Symphony Center. It's got holiday favorites, popular folk songs, and you can get tickets at cso.org/holidays. And if you'd like a pair of tickets to that, let's make that caller 10.
Perfect.
All right, so caller 7 gets James Taylor tickets. Caller 10 gets Vienna Boys Choir tickets at 312-981-7200. All right. Hey, by the way, every tree has a story. I know we know this. Does your Christmas tree have handmade ornaments, or are they made by your kids? Is decorating a tree a competitive sport in your family? Do you use tinsel, or do you use garland? Or Judy Garland, in some cases, as we've heard.
That's what my kids called it.
That's right, Judy Garland. What memories does your Christmas tree hold? Tell us a story in 200 words or less, and you can have the chance to win a new 7.5-foot artificial Christmas tree from Tree Time Christmas Decorations and Creations. Here's what some of our listeners had to say about their stories. Michael from Aurora says, our Christmas tree is the centerpiece of family gatherings during the holiday, and you can send yours in, your story, in 200 words or less. For your chance to win, go online to WGNradio.com/contests to tell us your story for your chance to win a 7.5-foot artificial tree, courtesy of Tree Time Christmas Creations in Lake Barrington, featuring more than 200 holiday trees and decorations at factory direct prices. So get your story going and 200 words or less.
And one more prize?
Yeah.
We have another one of these holiday hockey trees from Tree Time to give away as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we got caller cool. 7, we got caller 10. Caller 7, right?
Caller 7
gets the James Taylor tickets.
Correct.
Caller 10 gets the Vienna Boys Choir tickets. Caller 12. You writing it all down, Maximus?
That's perfect.
Caller 12 gets the hockey tree, the black and red white mini lights artificial desktop holiday hockey tree courtesy of Tree Time. Okay, that's you can right. Visit Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington or treetime.com.
Yep, thank you to them.
And get those stories going, too. 200 words or less, and you may win yourself a chance to get yourself a 7.5-foot artificial Christmas tree from Tree Time.
Now, Terry's doing some curls right now. He's working out, so he's a couple minutes behind. We can get to him. We can break and get to him.
Okay, let's take a break. Terry Crews is going to join us, but he's in the middle. He's doing curls
and push-ups.
He's in the middle
stuff.
Of his reps
right
now.
Right.
And oddly, his reps let us know that he was doing reps.
Nice.
Thank you very much. I'm a professional broadcaster.
You are.
All right, let's take a break. Terry Crews is going to join us coming up next on WGN.
Oh, no! I'm a hair! You're about to get shot!
Oh, no!
We sure had a lot of fun times together, didn't we? Remember that time in the amusement park? It was the best day of my life. I'm sorry!
Yeah.
Old Spice electric shaver! It's sharp.
Yeah, there's the Old Spice commercials that you see. They are hilarious and weird. But I love them, and one of the stars of those commercials is Terry Crews. Terry Crews, former NFL player. You've seen him on Everybody Hates Chris. You can currently see him on Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Fox, and also on Fox Tonight. You can see him on World's Funniest. He's the host, and I want to welcome him to the show. Terry, how are you, sir?
I am doing great. Hey, doing great. I love that commercial you just played. That is the feel for the hair, man. It was emotion. It was fun. It was a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love those commercials. But listen, before we get to World's Funniest, which I watch every Friday night, and it was really nice to see your family on the show last week, by the way, Terry.
That was so cool. Yeah. That was great. My son was like, "You're the man."
But I do want to mention you've been in so many things. You're so funny on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Congratulations on the success of that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's one of the best shows ever. Thank you.
It's so funny. But I got to mention, one of my favorite things of the past 10 years is Mike Judge's movie, Idiocracy.
Yes.
It is one of the funniest movies, and I was so disappointed with the way 20th Century Fox released it, and it really didn't get... But it's got a very big cult following now, right, Terry?
Dude, that movie bombed so hard. It sent me into a depression for a little while. I'm not kidding you, because we worked on it so hard. I thought this was going to be my big one. Like, this is going to be gigantic. And, dude, it was released in two theaters all over the country. And this was death to a movie, because there was no Netflix. There was no people going to stream it or whatever.
back when it came out, that was it. It was done.
It was horrible, Terry. And I remember, this is the absolutely true story, Terry, because I'd heard that Mike Judge's new movie was coming out, and I'm a huge fan of Mike Judge. And I looked in the newspaper, and in the newspaper, they actually said, Mike Judge's untitled project. That's what it said, instead of the name of the movie, in the paper.
Yes, it was. I couldn't believe it. You know what? Let me tell you something. I was like, I couldn't believe a white man got dissed that hard in America.
Well,
I only thought that happened to black people.
Well, you, by the way, Terry, you are unbelievably hilarious in that movie. I mean, doubled over with laughter. And here's the thing about that movie, though, Terry. It is now, it's scary because as years go by, that movie gets closer and closer to being a documentary.
You know what? What's so scary is when you look at the candidates and the, I mean, did you see that press conference on MSNBC?
Yeah.
That was Idiocracy.
Yeah.
It was totally everybody yelling at the same time. I said, it's going to be a cage match in a minute.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, if people have not seen Idiocracy, I can't recommend it highly enough. Terry plays the President of the United States in it.
Yeah. And pretty soon you're going to have, like, sponsored events by, you know, the Costco. You know, this debate brought to you by Costco.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
I keep waiting to walk down the street and just suddenly hear, how about a big-ass taco? That's the name.
Tell
me how you got Brooklyn Nine-Nine, such a great cast, so funny, and who knew that Andre Braugher could be hilarious?
Oh, dude, for real. Yeah, you know, he showed some things on some comedy chops on the Ray Romano show a few years back.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, he is the funniest thing on TV, and he's also, you know, a Juilliard-trained superstar actor, and we wouldn't be the same show without him because he gives us what we need. He gives that gravitas. He was on Homicide, and now he's cracking jokes. And I was basically picked because, you know, Dan Gore and Mike Shore, they created Parks and Recreation and Cut Their Teeth on The Office. And now they were like, we got this Andy Samberg project. And I was like, I am in because yeah. Andy is a future of comedy. And I'm so happy. We're going to be on the air for a long time.
It's a very funny show, consistently very funny. And, you know, one of the things, Terry, that's so good about the show is, man, talk a little bit about how strong that ensemble is that you're working with. Everybody's so funny.
And I tell everybody all the time, you know, all the people on the show, from Melissa Fumero, Stephanie Beatriz, to Joe Latrulio, all those guys could have their own show. That's how good they are. And when we get together, you know, Chelsea Peretti, it just keeps going. But when we're together, it's like we're a super group. You know, I like to call it, we're almost like the Avengers in a lot of ways. And everybody has their own superpowers. And we never step on each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Chelsea Peretti's got her thing. Andy's got his thing. Andre, Melissa. And then I come with my deal, and it's always good. I have never been part of a cast this good.
Yeah, consistently one of the funniest shows on television. Hey, let me ask you, Terry, your time with the NFL. Do you still watch football? Who's your team?
You know, I don't have a team. I don't because I was on so many, and I have players that are friends of mine. So, you know, it's kind of like once you've been in the scene, you even know too much. You know what I mean? You kind of know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a team, but I do watch SportsCenter, but I actually don't have time to sit and watch a four-hour game. I just don't do it. It's when you can see, you know, when you watch SportsCenter at the end and they show you every highlight, you didn't miss a thing. You didn't miss not one anything that needed to be seen. You saw it, are you?
Yeah. Now, what was it like?
You missed a bunch of FanDuel commercials.
That's it. In between the FanDuel commercials, exactly.
Terry,
what was it like transitioning from the NFL to acting?
Well, you know, it was heartbreaking because I had to go broke. I mean, I literally, because the transition from being an athlete into something else is hard. And no one knows how hard it is. You know, the only way I can really equate it to is almost like being a child star. You know, it's kind of like when you're a child star and you try to go get a regular job, you know, but everybody's like, what are you doing here? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you were in college and you're being a star, those other guys were out doing jobs, getting their thing, getting experience. And then years later, you come out and you want yours. They're the boss, and they don't like you anymore. You know what I mean? It's really weird. So you have to adjust. And I literally went broke, man. I was sweeping floors in a factory.
Mm.
And then I did security. And, try to work my way back up. But I also was arrogant. I was arrogant. Mm-hmm. Because most athletes, you think it's all about you and this and this. You learn that life's not about you. It took a big, big humbling for me to understand what was really going on. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem with modern athletics. You're treated like gods, and you're 20. And now all of a sudden, you're a regular man at 28.
Right. You know, congratulations on your success in the acting world. I got to tell you, Terry, the first time I really, really noticed you and how great you were was on Everybody Hates Chris, which is such a wonderful show.
Thank you.
And I got to tell you, Terry, you know, growing up, my dad worked 2 to 3. I don't remember my dad not having less than 2 jobs. And watching you on that show, not only was it hilarious, but it was like, it's like, yeah, I understand because I have a dad like that.
Oh, man, it crossed all genres, all, you know, everybody in the world. It's one of the biggest worldwide hits I've ever had because everybody can relate to not having some money and trying to make it work. You know what I mean? And it was so unbelievable. I go to, you know, you go to Europe, they watch it. I go to Latin America, they watch it. In America, it's, Everybody Hates Chris is a true classic.
Yeah. Well, you were great on it. All right, really quickly, I know we got to let you go, but let's talk World's Funniest. The show's hilarious. Tell everybody the setup. You get like 3 really great comedians to help you out, and you watch some really hilarious viral videos.
Exactly. And tonight we have Wayne Brady, Jesse May Peluso, and Josh Wolf that come through and join me. I like to call it my Friday night party. And we basically break down the internet. We make it family friendly. There's never going to be nothing that really makes you feel weird because you have your grandma in the room. It's not, nothing makes you feel that funny. And it's going to be hilarious though, because we took off the fails aspect and we just show really, really funny things from all over the world. And it kind of opened up the show and it's a big party. Order a pizza. I vote on what the most successful, funniest video is, and then it gets a trophy. That's made in my image, a big golden Terry.
Yeah.
And it's just a goofy, fun time. And I tell you, with all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, I like to say it's a respite. And it's just, you know, you can really, you know, just debrief yourself and relax and just, you know, enjoy and have a good time.
One of the things that I love about World's Funniest is how it's so clear, Terry, that you love your gig. You love that gig. It's so clear. You guys are having so much fun on that show. The only thing is I wish I was in the studio with you guys.
Oh, it's got to be. I mean, you know what? I have people who will basically watch just to see what I'm going to wear. I make sure my outfits are game changers. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Either for the best or for the worst.
Right. Are you wearing? What are you wearing?
Like, what the hell is he wearing?
What are you wearing tonight? On tonight's episode, what are we going to see, Terry?
Oh, I got something super special for you, man. tonight I'm wearing the Contra belt. I got the Contra belt. This thing, I bought this thing in Santa Fe. It is unbelievable. But when you see it, you're going to be like, holy cow.
Yeah.
It's really a game changer. But this is the kind of show it is, man. Yeah. There's no rules.
No,
it's all fun.
It's a blast. It's a blast. World's Funniest, Terry, is the... Hey, man, congratulations on all your success. You deserve it. You've done great stuff. And if again, people haven't seen Idiocracy, they should. World's Funniest is on tonight on Fox, 8 o'clock Central. Really great talking to you, Terry. I'm a big fan.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. Take care. There you go. There's Terry Crews, and you can see him tonight on World's Funniest on Fox. We got a break. Wendy is here with Steve Bertrand. That's unfortunate for Wendy. All right. We'll take a break. Yeah. What are you doing, Bertrand? Already he's causing problems. Guy's been here for 20 seconds and he's causing problems.
This is 2 days in a row where I just sit.
What's going on with him?
I'm just trying to help you.
He, you know, he's a busy man, Nick. He does a lot of text messaging during the show.
And
it's all relevant.
Phone calls.
It's all
contributing. You do some periscoping during the show?
I do some. Steve Dale did some periscoping this week with us.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I don't do Periscope yet.
No. He does go out and get lunch for an hour during the show. Because he has the Wintrust business lunch, so then he leaves to get lunch afterwards.
Yeah. So what do you care?
I could be in bed right now. Not really. I'd be doing the news.
Yeah, so come on. I like hanging with you.
Okay.
Bill's back on Monday, and then I'm off. We're doing a tag team co-host thing.
Oh, okay. So you're off next week?
All next week. Got to clean the house for Turkey Day.
Yeah. Okay.
And I have to cook. I ordered my turkey.
Pretty Your whole cut turkey?
Yes. Pretty excited.
Did you kill it yourself?
Yes, I did.
Good
plucked
for
it.
You.
You plucked it. You
Good for you.
Dipped it in boiling water.
Get the. It's not a lobster.
No, that's how you get the feathers out. You dip it like the chicken.
You know how he knows that? He just checked it on his phone. That's how he knows that.
I did that a few times when I was a kid. Like, you know, take your heads off and then you...
Do they really run around without their heads?
Briefly, yeah. Just like the rest of us.
This is so not true, by the way.
What, that they run around?
No, that you cut chickens' heads
off? Oh, I did when I was a kid.
He's from a farm town.
You did?
Well, I mean, I was a kid, so I didn't do the cutting, but I'd pick it up and you'd
dip it in. He did the watching.
Dip it in boiling water to get the feather, to remove the feathers.
Oh. Wow.
It's, well, what are you having for lunch?
Well, I had beef.
Beef, okay. Will you ever
breakfast.
Dip a cow in
cows
boiling water?
Cows are too big to dip into boiling water.
You know what? I'll still eat it. I just want to watch it being done.
Yeah. If I had to, you know, be my own farmer, I would be a vegetarian.
Yeah.
I'd still eat meat.
Amen, brother.
I don't care. I don't care.
I love meat.
Kill it, cook it, eat it.
All right. Well, we'll try and come up with some stuff for, you know, out of context, straight out of context, because you're going to be featured.
You make it pretty regularly. You and Andrea. I don't know what's going on in your lives, but you make straight out of context almost every week.
Not on purpose.
Wow.
All right, well, we have Bobby Slayton coming up on the show. We're celebrating 50 years of the Lava Lamp. We're going to talk about Black Friday deals with the little guys. Taylor Gray from Star Wars Rebels, which my husband Jimmy Mack came in to help assist with that interview. And you can hear his podcast, Rebel Force Radio, right here on WGNplus.com.
Elaine Boozler?
Yeah. So we're action-packed. I don't know how we're going to do it. So maybe you should get out of here, Nick. You're already out of here.
I'm going to go kill a cow.
All right, good. Enjoy it.